with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to the party. Welcome to the program, everybody. It is the 24th day of October, 2008. The horn is 3 years old right now. And I'm just tickled to pieces. Of course, I don't really know that we're going to do anything special. It's pretty much up to you guys. Can't play Happy Birthday or the Recording Institute Association of the well-heeled, very angry lawyers will sue us, and we can't afford that. You know, the RIAA can't play Happy Birthday. That's why they have to sing that stupid song at TGI McFunster's instead of Happy Birthday and all the other restaurants, because they sue restaurants, the RIAA does. But anyway, happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to us. 3 wonderful years together. And I thought you might enjoy an initial giggle. And see, it's a little bit because we put everything out there for free for anybody to listen to anytime they want to. You can hear this stuff anytime that the you take a notion. But I thought it might be kind of fun just to run this up for a minute and see what this sounded like 3 years ago tonight. That's called dead air. Man, that's a long intro. That was me.
Not yet. Oh, my God, it's good to be back. Not yet. This thing on.
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. That was a very abrupt fade, but you know what? And, you know, I'm proud to say that after 3 years, we still had some abrupt fades. And what fun it has been. Oh, it's been serious. There have been tears, but there's been a hell of a lot of laughter and a heck of a lot of joy, and so many people have contributed to it that I can't begin to count or to name them. I actually started pulling together a list of the people who have contributed to the program, both financially and with their hard work, earlier today, and I got to tell you, I abandoned the process. Because the longer the list grew, the greater the likelihood became that I would forget somebody. And I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to. I don't want anybody to think that their effort has been slighted. But I got to tell you, I got removed thanks to the coal industry and a particularly crappy, weaselless hospital executive. I got removed from the air on terrestrial radio on June the 30th, 2005. And damn if it wasn't sad. And the period of time between June the 30th, 2005 and October the 24th, 2005 were 3 3/4 of the longest months of my life. And all the credit in the world goes to Wayne Ribich for the inspiration and the determination that this would go forward. As he, as a living memorial to his lovely departed wife, Gina, outfitted this studio. That's and for those of you who are new to the program, or those of you who wonder why at the end of every program we say RMR Gina, it's all for you. Her name was Regina Marie Ribich. Her name is Regina Marie Ribich. There will never be anyone like her. And she it was who put this whole ball of ball in motion. I owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to all of you who put forward your earnest efforts and your financial contributions toward making this work. I owe a debt of gratitude to Wayne Ribich, and an absolutely a debt that I cannot begin to repay to Gina. And because you tune in and because these programs matter to you, well, Gina did that for you. And that's how I wanted to start this out, by remembering her. Because this would not have happened without her. Without her passion, her dedication. And one of the most charming things about Gina was the fact that even though I'm a friendly, she would never pick up the phone and call the program, even in its terrestrial incarnation. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people like her who won't pick up the phone, who won't call. But even though you never hear them, you know that you're making a difference, and you know that that they, too, are part of the struggle. So as we go through the evening, and most of the evening will probably just be a regular show. I mean, you guys can wear out the phones. I welcome you to. You know, two Fridays in a row we've had phone trouble, so I'm a little paranoid here. Let's see. Yeah, that's a dial tone. Okay, we're good to go. Phones are hot. But remember Gina, and know of all the sacrifices that go into making all of this happen. And I'm not talking about me. This is the most wonderful thing that I've ever been associated with, and the most wonderful people. So no, the sacrifice part doesn't count. Where it's no, this is a joy. This is 3 hours of the day, every day, that I get to just forget everything and focus only on talking to y'all and trying to process, trying to dialogue, trying to discuss and make stuff work and work through things and make sense of an increasingly senseless world. Wow, have I just turned the birthday party into a downer? Damn, somebody get out the Baptist wedding punch. You know, the stuff with the ginger ale and the Sprite and the melted sherbet in it. Get that. I love that stuff. And, you know, when you go out into the parking lot and the old Baptist men are standing there back behind the sanctuary, and one of them's got that hip flask of wild turkey, and suddenly the punch gets a hell of a lot punchier. But, yeah, so this is 3 years we're doing this. And I hope we have a chance. Lord, I hope we have a chance to mark this again next year and the year after that and the year after that. Because the one thing that in our early conversations about making this go, the one thing that I said is I'm in this for the long haul. And I'm not going to be disappearing. God willing, the crick don't rise. So hopefully we'll have this little part. And, you know, maybe by next year, we'll do something different. Maybe we can start planning. I'm not real good at advanced planning. I'm an on-your-feet kind of meat and potatoes kind of guy. Just am. The whole obsessive-compulsive everything on little note cards and stuff, no, can't do it. Just no good at it. But we'll try to do this again next year. And you know, share your thoughts. Feel free to share your thoughts tonight. You know the phone number. It hasn't changed. 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on, HEADON. And locally, if you want to save us a nickel or a buck, 304 888-658-3333. As I mentioned, talking with John Fox on his program last Sunday evening. And Sundays have turned out to be a fun little evening here on the Horn. Now, you got to navigate away from the Horn for a little bit on Sunday evening to catch Rama's Help Me, I'm an American. But right after that, you come back to the Horn, and John Fox is all foxed up. Makes for a wonderful little Sunday night. Of course, weekends are also a blast because of Rick Goodner and Rick's Place and Rick Smith from Pennsylvania, the Rick Smith Show, as well as the oldest of our weekend programs, namely Night Sounds with Billy Shears, which comes your way at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific. Let's see, 2 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Ooh, am I good or what? And that's what we're trying to create here. And shows have come and gone, and people have come and gone, not because they weren't happy, for the most part, but because this is, more than anything else, a working people's endeavor. It remains the sincere hope of everyone associated with the Horn that someday we're going to pay people. Yeah, heck, someday we might pay me and all everybody. We might pay everybody associated with this effort at making these programs work, from the blog to the engineering, to the behind the mic stuff, to the chat room stuff, to the news ninjing, and that's our goal. So far, we haven't met it, but it doesn't mean that we don't continue to work at it. But I would be remiss in not mentioning folks that have come and gone from the network. I don't think a day goes by that I don't think of Bruce Birch and wonder how he's doing. I think a lot about Joe Vecchio, and I know how hard Joe tried to make a go of things, and he hung on to the bitter end. You know, recently Peter Godbold gave up his show, and that was a real blow. But I understand why he did it, and can't fault him in the least. But you know, I was thinking about Peter just today because of a story that I saw. Lo and behold, I got I live for these emails from the American Family Association. And they were all upset because, what they did is, because these Christian hate mongers, phony Christian hate mongers, they no more follow the teachings. You know, it's a death cult. They worship the death of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Nazarene day laborer. They don't give a hoot about his life. And they're all obsessed with the lives that people lead by dint of the way that they are born. And they're upset about an article in the Denver Post. The headline says, "Focus on the Family Focuses Home on Homosexuals." And that's all it is. It's a fundraising drive, as Peter used to note. It's a fundraising drive on the back of the single most discriminated against group of individuals in this country, the gay community. Focus on the Family, the American Family Association, all these creeps out there pushing Proposition 8 in California right now are literally raising money on the backs of those that they hate. And if there is a real hell, it is yawning wide and waiting for every one of the people who engage in that conduct, profiting by imposing misery on others. See, that's part of my definition of sin, that I'm funny that way, I guess. But anyway, I thought about Peter earlier today because I saw quotes in this article from the Denver Post from a woman by the name of Christine Bakke, B-A-K-K-E, Christine Bakke. She's 37 years old. She's an artist in Denver. She moved to Colorado 10 years ago because she wanted to become part of the ex-gay programs offered in that state through the Focus on the Family. You know, James Dobson runs that operation. He's the one that says grown men should get in the shower and shake their Johnsons at their little boys to keep them from catching an ugly case of the gay. I don't know how that does that, but and he wants them beaten until they cry real tears, and he tells stories about how he beat a puppy, and Oh, he's a sick bastard, James Dobson is. I mean, a real sick one. He's one of those that when he does go, he's going to be laying there in the hospital bed, gasping for the last breath because he's going to hear the flapping bat wings of the agents of Satan getting ready to come and take him away. But Christine Bakke is mentioned in this story. She said, I threw my whole heart and soul and life into changing. There was a period of time when I actually believed I was changing. Then there would be reminders, uh-oh, nope, still gay, she said. And she said the whole time she suppressed her sexuality, her creativity disappeared. This is a story from the Denver Post, dated today, October 24th, 2008. One of the beautiful things about some of the stuff that's happened here on the Horn, if you were listening to the Horn, if you were listening to Peter Godbold some months back, you knew about Christine Bakke's story long, long before it was ever even so much as a blip on the radar of the Denver Post. That's what Peter did. And I saw the name, and I'm like, shucks, I know about her. Now, the reason the American Family Association is all upset about this Denver Post article is that it has a post poll on it. If you go to the story, it's denverpost.com/breaking news, and just look for, or, you know, search the site for Focus on the Family focuses on homosexuals. And there's a poll there that says, do you believe that homosexual tendencies can be diminished through counseling? Yes, no, not sure, don't care. Well, when the Focus on the Family first heard about it, 75% of people, you know, normal people, were answering, no, you can't counsel away being a trait of humanity, no. But because they're frauds and because they're phonies and because they're worshippers in a death cult, they sicked their thousands of members on that poll, and they sent out an email. AFA counters Denver Post poll on homosexuality. Can homosexuals change? Post readers say no. And they want you to go and take the change the results, and they did. And now, the last I saw, the numbers are overwhelming. With fundamentalist hate-mongering freaks saying, absolutely, we can pray the gay away. I'm surprised there's not a hymn out there. We can pray the gay away. I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. And, of course, they set up their dummied-up poll that we've talked about before where you have to give an email address in order to be counted in the poll. Well, I did that, and this time I just dummied up an email address. The first name of the respondent was Jesus Christ, and the last name was Your Lord and Savior. And his email was jc@iamnotpleasedwithyoubigots.com. And I voted no, and it felt very, very good. But, yeah, they've frauded up this poll with their hate. And there's other stories. There are other Proposition 8 stories out there. And I got to thinking. And, you know, maybe this is one of those things that keeps me from ever being able to go mainstream. Because some of this just really brings out the not nice in me. It's my understanding that in California, these religious freaks, these servants of darkness, these harbingers of hate, are going door to door. They're trespassing onto people's private property to knock on the door and tell them how to vote. And I'm grateful that it ain't happening around here because I'd be in jail by now. You know, be nice about it. Put a sign up. Dear hate mongers, if you knock on my door to ask me to vote yes on Proposition 8, I'm going to come out and beat you with a ball bat. But, you know, they don't stop at that. That would mean we were being persecuted in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And I would. I'd come flying out of that door. You want to do some hate? I'm going to show you some hate. You want to talk about, you want to persecute people in this country? You want to take away constitutional rights? I am going to tap dance on your constitutional rights. And I'm going to giggle while I'm doing it. Because I've just gotten to that place. I have no tolerance for this intolerance. I know that sounds hypocritical. I know that sounds possibly psychotic, but it's just where I am. And you know what?
turn the other cheek doesn't count. There's a whole lot of philosophy behind turn the other cheek that really doesn't mean that you have to take whatever hateful, vicious, vile, bilious violence that the other side wants to hand out. It's not what it means at all. And so I'm glad I'm not in California. I'm really glad, and I pity Californians having to put up with this crap. And I sincerely hope that 8 is rejected. Proposition 8 is what it really is. It's not Proposition 8, it's Proposition 8. That's what it really is. And once it's rejected, you know, I want the Mormons and the Catholics and, you know, all these hardcore so-called conservatives, family values, you know, in other words, the prejudiced bigots. I want them to spend every last dime that they've got. And I want them to spend it in a losing cause. And after that, I want them driven out of civil society so that they dare not raise their bigoted voices anymore without there being 100 voices to every one they raise to shout their bigotry down. You know, I've referred from time to time to the correspondence, and if you've never read it, you really should try to get your hands on it. Correspondence between Judge Learned Hand, who was a judge on the federal bench, I think in the Midwest. He was one of the few Native American federal judges we've ever had. But he engaged in a correspondence with Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. about free speech. And he schooled Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. He told him that the remedy to bad speech is not to suppress the speech, but it is more speech. And I agree with Judge Learned Hand. But there's nothing in there about not being louder and not having more of it. This is what it's all about when we talk about not tolerating, not putting up with fascism anymore. Because the same thing that's going on with Proposition Hate in California, these are the same tools that have been used from time immemorial to suppress weak, defenseless, powerless groups. And the only way you ever stop it is by fully and frontally rejecting, resisting, and overcoming it. And I can't do the kumbaya thing on it. I just can't. Not anymore. I know my colleague Mark Levine wants to sit down and reason with them, and he comes from a tradition where that is valued and that is cherished. But I still say that he doesn't fully understand because he's sitting down and he's trying to sit down and reason with people who, if his back was turned and no one was watching, would slit his throat. For any of a number of reasons. Because the bigot bag in fundamentalist America is big and dark and deep and capacious. So before I get into a hissy or anything, Let's look at a little bit of email, because I had a couple here that were Jim Dandies. We heard from Matthew in New York City earlier today. He said, "Happy birthday to the Horn! Congratulations on hanging tough for 3 years. I know it hasn't been easy, but I think what you're doing is important. And I'm very glad to have some place to log on, listen, and get smarter about the issues. Keep up the great work." Thanks, Matthew. Brother Matthew. And this in from head-on critic at large, Reverbo. He says, "Bob, I couldn't let this occasion go by without my acknowledgments. You have the best format on talk radio, and I wish the Head-On Radio Network continued progress and a fatter checkbook. I can't remember how I came to find you in the vast radio waves universe, but I'm glad I did. It's real conversation, real give and take. You're easy to talk to, at times even inspiring, and your callers are all thoughtful and interesting. I'm now a regular caller and hopefully add intelligence and levity to the discourse. So enjoy your birthday presents, which are in the form of the attached tunes, and we'll play them. So many of us are waiting for a new sunrise, and Les Paul and Mary Ford plug it in with the best of them. And to keep the birthday spirit fun packed, there's a grinder from Southern Culture on the Skids, a band I love, that I know you and some of your friends can relate to. Well, today's all about enjoying 3 years of broadcasting. And wait a minute. There's another birthday greeting coming in. It's from Alan Greenspan. He says, Bob, I'm so shocked that our free market dinner party got upchucked all over everybody. Oh, well, clean it up for me, okay? All the best, Alan. Well, says Reverbo, he can't bend down as well as he used to now, can he? Oh, and look, here's one from Dick Cheney. 3 years on the air, huh? Y'all gonna storm the dark castle with your torches of truth? So long, suckers. You'll never catch me. Well, that wasn't very nice of the vice president, was it? Let's see, here's the last one, and it's from Milton Friedman. He says, hippie happy birthday to everyone at Head On. I just wanted to let you know that it's nice and warm down here. Sorry to hear you're all gonna freeze up there. Well, gotta go. Time to eat more money. Funny, it never matters if I get full. I have to keep eating. Love, Milton. Wasn't that thoughtful of the famous economist to remember your special day? Reverbo says, well, that's all from here. I'll be tuning in tonight. Make it personal. Yeah, let's start with the first tune. You can't tease me with Les Paul and Mary Ford and have me not play it. So, thanks, Reverbo.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every rose is covered with dew. And why the
You know, you can, Les Paul, you just hear that, and you can imagine the smoke flying off of the strings. What magic he invented with that guitar. Although it's funny, and I think John Fox first told me that story, or maybe it was our buddy David in Tennessee. You know, he invented more or less the Les Paul, the Gibson Les Paul. And then they wanted to take it a step further, and they invented what became the SG, which is, I guess, the guitar of choice for, like, AC/DC. And he hated it. But what a sound that thing has, too. You know, and, you know, the world is waiting for the sunrise. The world really is. You know, I saw a statistic over at WD40.com, WBYAD, the numeral 4, the numeral 0.com. I think it was today. 1% of Frenchmen are in favor of the election of John McCain. 1%. I guess those are like the relatives of the Vichy that they didn't hang after World War II. 1% of Frenchmen. The world is waiting for the sunrise, and they're waiting for the sun. It's like waiting for the world to turn backwards, because the sun is going to rise over the United States if we can just protect ourselves against this hateful, ugly little right-wing freak that wants to occupy and do the George Bush thing for 4 more years in the White House. Cross your fingers. Okay, let's go to the phones and see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
You beat me to the Les Paul. Don't he smoke on that thing?
He do smoke.
You beat me to the Les Paul story. As soon as I heard those first few bars, I thought, oh, I'm going to tell that story. Oh, never mind.
Tell it, tell it.
Well, no, you already went into that how that was, he invented his own, you know, and everybody's got one now, and they're famous and expensive.
Oh, aren't they? You know, I've still got a knockoff that I got for, I think, my 12th birthday that Ferg noodles around on some. Only it's a weird little hybrid. It's a Les Paul body, and it's got the double humbuckers and everything on it, but it's got a bolt-on Fender Strat-type neck.
Mm-hmm.
And what a weird combination. And, you know, the thing just screams. It really does. Not that I can make it scream with any alacrity or any talent whatsoever, but every now and then I plug it in and I'll just, you know, hit a note way the hell up the neck and make it go, wow!
That's a note.
Yeah, that's what I do. I shred.
Search and destroy for them chords, right?
If you can't find them, grind them.
Yeah, right. If it don't move, paint it. Just happy anniversary, Dan. It's been a long time. Thank you for the tribute. A lot of people don't know about Gina and why you play that, and I didn't for a while until I asked. And anyway, thanks for that tribute. That was you got through it without crying. That was cool. I didn't. what else was I going to say? Oh, and you said, when Roberto, that was thank you for that mailing it in, guy. That was good.
It ain't every day I get emails from Milton Friedman in hell, but it's damn gratifying to know he's there.
Yeah, I wish I could. I never thought of making nothing up like that. I just thought I'd just better call and call at the top of the hour because I wanted to, then I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say. Everything. Oh, the whole rant about that prop, whatever it is.
Oh, proposition hate.
Yeah, you were talking last night about the way folks have sex, and it's not about sex.
Well, I know that, and you know that, but we're talking about morons.
I know, but I just wanted to remind people that sexuality is not about sex, and so it's just, I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, could you elaborate on that just a little bit, please, Kate?
My experience is that the fundies and the evangelicals and those people who are so concerned about what people do with their penises are just just not in my on my radar screen, and it's just not about sex. It's about preference and politics and social mores and
civil rights, maybe civil rights, just a little few, maybe one or two, kind of
start with that. And then you mentioned the picking on they're picking on the weak and the powerless. Excuse me, there's nothing weak and powerless about me.
No. But societally speaking, you are not approved of. I feel sorry for anybody who tries to come up thinking that you are weak or powerless. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about populations.
I guess that's a compliment, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're the one that talks about the pink chainsaw, not me. Okay, Kate.
It's a pink Glock, I guess it was a pink chainsaw, but at one time it was maybe lavender, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's the pink Glock, and it's the lavender Husqvarna or something, isn't it?
A steel 24-inch bar, and then matching cords on Peter's generator. Yeah, they were green. And we were going to go down there and cut the limbs off of his porch.
Right, and then, you know, and give the generator a brush coat, a rainbow brush coat. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I missed the boy. I didn't know he was gone because I'd been on the road and not able to plug in and pick up the horn and pick up all the programs and stuff. And so I didn't even know that Peter was working at something else. And so I guess I'll have to be in touch with the boy and say, hey, keep him interested. What else was I going to... Oh, things down here in Mississippi are when I called, I guess last week or the week before, and I was talking about that veneer of recovery and everything is looking good and it's all polished and the flowers are growing and the, you know, and the, there's a lot of new houses and a lot of, we got a new Waffle House down on 90 and, you know, yay. But I've been out in the field visiting my folks and one grandma just about died and, she's living in her front bedroom now and, that's pitiful and it breaks my heart. And, we're having to close up the files of people who we had 800 people and they picked out, they bridged 200 of them to do case management on. And, we're telling them essentially, I mean, this is a pretty distilled essence, but we're telling them that there's no place for you to live on your $600 disability or Social Security check. And we just don't have any resources for you. And so would you sign here? And they have a program called DHAP. It's something about housing. It's HUD housing. And FEMA's picking up the tab for the housing until, I mean, people who are in apartments or trailers or, you know, rentals somewhere. HUD's picking up the tab on that. And
we're talking, and I think we've referred to this a couple of times in the past, Kate. What we're talking about, and I don't think there's anybody who really disagrees who knows anything about the situation. We're talking about depopulation.
Oh, well, that's my mantra. I mean, as you know, people,
some would call it ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, I do. That's what I call it. And the people, the bottom feeders who don't contribute anything and they are just a burden to the resource pool and they don't pay taxes and they don't contribute to society and they're just
that kind of talk just drives me crazy because and I know it drives you crazy too because you know what the universe is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that someone doesn't contribute to society, hey, you're here, you're contributing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I come from a theatrical background a little bit once in a while here and there. And the spear carrier who stands silently and as solid as a graven image, as still as a graven image in the back of the play, is contributing something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're
the most dangerous because they are quiet.
Well, it's like that great old story from the early days. It was repeated to me and back when I was in school and going to be an actor until I decided I'd rather be fat as opposed to starving. That story that was repeated to me, that they were starting Shakespeare in the Park and the method actor from wherever, you know, Stella Adler taught him or whatever, and he was a spear carrier in one of the Shakespeare plays, and Joseph Papp, the great director, was directing, and the method actor was in the back of the stage, and he was a spear carrier, and he was emoting, and he was living the life, the internal monologue of a spear carrier, during rehearsal, when time came for notes, Pap said, and I mean, this is all secondhand hearsay, it may never have happened, but
mm-hmm.
Spear carrier number three, damn it, man, don't just do something, stand there. sometimes there's purpose in standing there.
Yes, there is.
Sometimes there's purpose in living and passing traditions
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
passing wisdom and passing knowledge. And I am not by any means, Kate, diminishing what you're observing. Please don't, and you know better than to think I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that the harder you, if you look hard enough, anywhere you see corporate America or corporate world hell-bent on getting its way, one of the first little boxes that gets off on the top of the list is depopulate poor people.
Yeah, that's in the plan.
I've learned so much about it, and I plead my ignorance until my eyes were opened. I thought what goes on up here in the hills was just a matter of naked, heartless, bloodthirsty greed.
Mm-mm.
But no, it's depopulation. It's ethnic cleansing. It's
mm-hmm.
get rid of the hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so prevalent down here. And
because we here on the Gulf Coast, other threatened areas of the country, we are deemed A, expendable, and B, not validly contributing to the commercial goals of what? Of, you know, some CEO? Do you blame the culture? What do you blame?
I don't know. It's a cycle. I reckon it's been going on for thousands of years, and it's just happening in front of my face. And I messed around down here. I got here 2 weeks. I was here 2 weeks before I contacted my Black Eyed Peas grandma, and I talked to her this week, and we were laughing about the peas, and I said, well, you owe me some peas. She said, I do? I said, yeah, don't play dumb for me. You do. And she laughed, and she said, well, I just made a big pot. My brother brought over some peas the other day, and I made up a pot a couple of nights ago, and he put me in a couple of hills behind the house, and I had some pretty good okra in them peas, too. It tasted good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gross. Oh.
And I said, I'm a supper? And she said, mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, we'll just do it a couple of weeks from now. So I miss supper. Dang. Oh, I bet it was good. And she's got he's got a great big old garden out behind his house, and he put her in a couple of hills behind her house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go out and help her. Oh, my God, I was out in the field today, and the gardens around here are just terrific. They're to die for.
They're still going?
Yeah, we got stuff growing out.
Now, careful there. I just heard a little bit of that accent you were complaining about last time we talked. Oh yeah, gotta be careful.
Oh God, I'm just trying.
No, I mean I'm just trying to perform a public service here because we can't have those people looking
so
funny.
Hard.
Look,
so she told
work
me
on
like Sarah Palin. Yep. I just about crapped.
Yeah, work on yep.
Yep.
Or show enough.
Oh, I'd say that already. Somebody said the other day, oh, I'm so glad you say, and I said, I'm just fixing to do that. And she said, I'm so glad you're picking up on the accent. And I said, well, I've said that all my life, and I was almost said I'm fitting to pick this up. And she said, oh, good, you're talking like me.
Yeah, so, see, that's the thing. You're not picking it up. You're learning to speak the language.
No, I've always said that.
I know.
I'm fitting to go. I'm fitting to get out of here. Anyway, yeah, what surprised me a couple of years ago when I was down here was that when what they do with the ground around the trees. I went out to visit somebody's house whose roof was leaking and they were having a mess, but he still put in his garden, and he put the charred or the greens all in around the base of the tree, dug it all up, and so around the trees in the backyard were growing all these greens. And that was in, like, December or something, you know, and I thought, oh, man. So I said, can I just sneak out here in the backyard and pick some? He said, you don't have to come at night. You can come in the middle of the day if you want to. I said, you mean I don't have to use the back door? He laughed. People look at me funny when I kind of plug into the culture.
And see, I'm like just a little bit crazy because I think those people have more comparative human worth than six or seven Wall Street CEOs, but I'm just funny that way.
Oh, hell yeah. And CEOs can't cook peas and okra either.
CEOs CEOs can't live in the wild. They can't they can't survive on their own. They're like hothouse flowers. They really are. They need the rest of us going around and picking their dead asses up most of the time.
That's right. Those are the people that are scaring me because they're they don't know. They've got 7 TVs and 2 cars and 5 mortgages and all the extra stuff and the credit cards and all that. And they're ones that are freaking out about what's happening at the economy.
And you got all that stuff, and then you got to worry about what happens to the stuff when you're dead. And then you got to worry about foundations, and then you got to pay an accountant to take care of the money of the foundation, and the accountant's got to hire a lawyer. And
I'm glad I don't know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about no money. I ain't got none. I don't want none, and I don't even want to go there. Anyway, people are really surprised when I say things that I said today. I'm so glad to be home. I just am so glad to be home as long as it stays below 80 and below 80 degrees. And I said, but I got here and I'm looking around and I said something to somebody one day, like, where's the magnolia blossoms? And they said, oh, white girl, they bloom in the spring. And that woman looked at me funny, like that's just exactly what she was thinking. And it takes people by surprise. And so I'm just trying to explain to them. I might be a foreigner, but I'm funny to listen to. But you can't get over on me. So.
But you mean well.
Don't try to sell me no foreign.
Hey, I got to ask you because we had a little email exchange, and I guess it was a week ago tonight that Nick and I were talking about getting to see that sculpture over in Roanoke, the Agony of Gaia. I sent you a photo of it.
Yes.
If you don't mind, instead of my biased view, how about the neutral observer's view of that thing? Was that just mind-blowing or what?
Yes, it was. And it, I think my response to you was that because I'm sensitive to geophysical changes, that there are often times when my body feels like that picture look, those pictures look just total. And when I drive through mining places like in Arizona, oh, I just did it, like Arizona, they... Arizona.
You betcha.
When I drive through places that where the earth has been ripped up, my body feels like those that picture looks of her, and it affects me physiologically. And yeah, that's that artwork was exquisite. And anybody who looks at it and is not moved, then check your pulse, because we need to haul you away. It's pretty profound.
Dirt nap time.
Yeah, astounding stuff. Well, listen, I want to just hang up here and let other people get on, and I just hope we hear from... Where's Michelle from California? Did anybody hear from her?
I have not heard from her in ages. Agnes and I have sat here, and have you heard... You know, I worry about putting people off or saying something that offends people, and I never know if that's what I've done.
Not Michelle. Come on. Not Michelle.
You don't know. People, you don't hear from them, and you,
Well, she's pretty busy with quitting smoking and the kids, running the kids back and forth and doing the deal and living in the smoke and, you know, the fires and stuff. So, I don't know. But I think somebody has her contact, has been in touch with her, but I just wondered if you'd heard from her. And you're right, that list, don't even start the list, because there's...
I will. I'll screw it up. As sure as God made little green apples, I'll leave a name off, and then it'll be, you know, hey, you left my name off. You.
Oh, I know what I started the conversation with. You said, Reverbal said he didn't know how he found you or how, when, or whatever. I was thinking about that the other night, and how I found you was when... Steady came to TLC, the site I was at, where I was the site supervisor. Before he came, you were going to interview Tammy.
Yes.
Agar and Jim Yancey.
Uh-huh.
And on the air one night, and when Tammy came in, and she come rushing in and said, I got to be on the radio in 5 minutes. And then that's when Dad was dying. And so that was canceled. And then when Steady came in, totally unrelated, he called in and talked for probably an hour one night on an interview. Then I started listening to the art. He archived it in my laptop or something, and I listened to that. And then you called into Nova M one morning, and I was talking to you on that interview show. And that's when this all started. So that was when this is my third year coming down here, so I must have been, you weren't on the air very long then, huh? March of 06?
Yeah, that would have been, roundabout in there. And then Dad passed away February 1st of 07.
Okay, I had only been here since January of 07, so that's when I got hooked up with the horn. So, yeah, it's been a long damn road, huh?
It has been. I just hope it keeps extending in front of us.
Me too.
And that's really neat, because I think about that, and just to extend this by a minute or two, not to take too much of your time if you've got to do something.
No, my time is free tonight. I made sure of that.
Because I take these kind of moments for a little bit of introspection, I got to thinking about what drove me into this. And if... Without getting smarmy or anything.
Oh, go ahead and be smarmy. It's your show.
No, I don't do smarmy very well.
It's your, you do, too.
I
it's
do
your
not.
Anniversary. Smarm on, dude. Smarm on.
It goes way, way back. You know, I mean, there's the DJ, the disc jockey in it. Life is not a horizontal or a vertical line.
Ooh, buddy. Mm-mm.
It's a spider web.
Yeah.
And the vibration at one end of the web can completely change everything on the far corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's an astonishing contemplation for me. Yeah. God knows I've screwed up a bunch of things, but I've gotten a few things right. And one of them has to do with a lot of time spent running up and down the road late at night, coming back from here or there. And whether it was in Atlanta and tuning in WSB 750, or whether it was running around here in the hills and thereabouts and tuning in WLS, and in both instances hearing Malloy. Malloy was the guy who inspired me to think that I could do this. Because the other part of the time I was running around with the car on, and since I've already got every classic rock format song deeply embedded into my brain, so that sometimes they just pop into my head and I can't get them out for 2 or 3 days. You know, chemical OCD is a terrible, terrible thing. I don't listen to rock and roll radio anymore. Not since like the AOR, album-oriented rock format, died, because you hear everything. So most of what's on commercial radio is Drek. So even if it was right wing, I was running up and down the road and I was listening to right wing talk radio going, these guys are lying gas bag idiots. And there's no, and you know, you across the dial and there's nothing there to counter any of it. And you know, your travels become this long stream of what the.
I know, I'm on the road. Oh boy.
And so I finally decided to take the plunge in 2003, and just went and cold called and knocked on the door at the station over in Beckley and wound up filling in for Dr. Bill, another person to whom I owe a profound debt of gratitude, and which we were hearing more from.
Yeah, me too.
And then the magical little day when Gina heard me filling in for Dr. Bill and called Wayne and said, you know, you got to hear this guy. And that started the snowball rolling.
Yeah.
And I mean, if there's anybody who is entitled to co-opt that wonderful line from the Grateful Dead, what a long, strange trip it's been. I'm the guy.
Yeah, I know. For sure.
Well, there's I guess there's another song to add to the playlist for tonight. But I tell you what, when we go, I'm gonna play your request.
Well, I'm a little bit south of Mount Belzoni, and I'm still waiting. I'm defying anybody to try to sell me farm cats from Belzoni because I just don't think it tastes as good. I did have some kick butt oysters the other day, though. Oh my God!
Okay, there's the food porn section of the program.
Sorry, I started it, didn't I?
15 okay. yards, 15 minute phone penalty, taunting.
Oh, I got to sit under the skylight and wait on the sun to come up.
With
now,
your with your Java and Chesterfield Kings. Take care, Kate.
Yeah, y'all take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
It sure is. Second hour of the third anniversary show. About 3 minutes past the hour, 3 minutes past seven here on the East Coast. 3 minutes past midnight, Greenwich Mean Time, 3 minutes past four Pacific. Aren't I talented? And it's all right here inside inside this tiny, tiny pea-sized brain of mine. You know, one of the things I was thinking about during the break there that I thought might be kind of fun, I went and I dug up a couple of the old promos. Now, granted, we ran these almost to death once upon a time. But they were so much fun. It's worth sort of reaching back into the bag just to run these because, you know, a lot of effort went into creating these things. And that's the thing with imaging in the gig like this. You do a promo, you run it twice in a day, and 2 hours work is no, you know, gone, dated, over. But, this was one of my favorites, and it's just a beauty.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid. Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Wasn't that fun? It was such a blast, and I've got a couple more of these things. Pardon the noise here. We got some company in the studio tonight, and I'm trying to make things work out where everybody gets to hear everything that's going on, and I'm cracking open a set of headphones, and we're going to make this work, and because I'm a multitasker. I don't know. I could be completely baffled and defeated by this stupid piece of plastic. I'm not going to let it get me.
Not going to let it get me. I think it's going to get me. Oh, no. We got it licked. Oh, yeah, it's beat now. Because I have a superior intellect, I can open complicated plastic boxes. Now, like I said, we got company in the studio this evening. Nick Regalado is with us. He was hanging out last week and having a little fun. And Benji Webb is here, too. Both of these fine gentlemen from Coal River Mountain Watch, some of those that I refer to as the hardest working, bravest people I know. Now, darn it. Oh, you know, I think Nick just bugged out. Here, let's hot up your mic at least. Hey, Nick, if you're listening, I got headphones for you back here, brother. Yeah, just pull the microphone over there.
Okay.
Yeah, don't act shy. It's not like you've never been around a microphone before.
I'm not shy. I'm not shy, Bob. Yeah. Far from shy.
Benji is what's the official job title down Coal River Way?
I'm actually the office coordinator.
Okay, and that means?
Well, it's multiple things.
Yeah, you keep a lot of plates in the air and make sure that nothing blows up. We don't want to, and everybody goes where everybody's supposed to be, and all that kind of
stuff. That's correct.
But you also have a side light, do you not? I mean, I've seen you behind a mixing board. You're not baffled by this thing over here that I'm fooling with by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I have some DJ stuff that I actually do DJing with. So it's kind of like a hobby.
Is that something you still do?
Yeah, I do it. I do it a lot. I do it from time to time, but here in West Virginia, it's a little bit different. There's only actually like three companies here in West Virginia that actually do DJing services. So.
Really?
Yeah, I've done some research on that, so I'm getting ready to put a website up, actually.
No kidding.
Mine. Yeah.
That's cool. So what, like high school dances and Moose Lodge and weddings? And
Any kind of thing that requires a DJ.
So do you have like a vast and varied music collection that I can that I can raid?
Yeah, you can raid it, Bob. It's actually, it's probably about 6 years of collecting music.
Any particular styles or?
Just about every kind of style you can think of. You have to have a big variety of collection in order to,
If you do weddings, you got to have the chicken dance, and you got to have sunrise, sunset, and
I've even done polkas, and that's kind of
You lived in Cleveland. You're not allowed not to have the polka music in Cleveland.
Right, correct.
Okay. Well, I'll be interested to see what happens when you here comes Nick again, and when you get this thing up and running, you know, and if you want an apprentice on a weekend night, you know, yell,
you'd be perfect for the vocals there.
I love set up and tear down and all the fun stuff, and I really am a music pig. I will cannibalize anybody's music collection.
Well, you can use mine if you want. It's not a big deal. I'm not greedy.
And let's see. You may have to yell, Nick. Say hi, Nick.
Hey.
See, I promise. That really is Nick Regalado. I got you your headphones. And I don't know. We'll play a long piece of music, and I'll get you a microphone, too. We'll patch one of those in as well.
Awesome.
It's great to have some company here for the, you know, you ought not be celebrating a third birthday kind of sitting by yourself in a studio. So, you know.
No, congratulations, Bob, on your third year, from Coal River Mountain Watch.
Well, I tell you what, it's not blowing any smoke when I say that, my experience with y'all has been transformative and, it goes way back to the bad old Beckley days because, you know what the other side that we're dealing with, guys, and you know, it was just us guys sitting here and a bunch of people that in the audience that already know what the score is. We're dealing with thugs on the other side.
Well, definitely, I definitely agree with that totally.
And so what happened was, it made me really proud because for the first time it was possible for folks to talk about what was happening from the community end of things and not have some right wing punk bastard scream them down. And I'll never forget, right after my association began, there was an invitation extended to the right-wing thug who is on in the mornings over in Beckley. And I mean, this guy's dumber than a box of homemade stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually took up the offer and went down to the office there in Whitesville and started trying to argue with, God help him, Judy.
that's a battle that you didn't really want to get into.
Well, the best part of it all is he ran away.
Well, I would too, I think.
And he got on the air and talked about how scared he was of Judy and Janice and Nanette and Patty. Yeah.
Women.
Yeah, terrified him. Just terrified him. Because basically they weren't putting up with his BS that, you know, well, we're going to return the mountain to its original 50% of its original contours.
Well, you know, if the law does state to put it back to original or better, and
yeah.
They don't even get nowhere near close to original. I mean, it's nowhere near it. So,
well, I couldn't help noticing this afternoon as I was going through stuff for the program, a fascinating little story. You know, I started the program last night with the wonderful news about the survey data that has come out that shows that a whole lot of Americans really do know about mountaintop removal, and a vast majority of the people who know about it despise it.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. Is it 61% or something like that?
Well, yeah, and it approaches up toward 80 under some of the circumstances with some of the data. Well, and yet, because, well, you know, I've asserted a million times that God is a God of irony.
Yes.
More than anything else, God is a God of irony. So today I open up the West Virginia newspaper, the Charleston Gazette, the state's paper of record, and I see this headline, Coal Executives Lament Increasing Regulations. It's really hard to read that with a straight face. A story from the Associated Press. Coal company executives say less government regulation would help them help the country decrease the country's dependence on foreign energy. You know, God, this is not Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. Help me help you. No, but that's not the trend, according to business leaders who met Thursday in Huntington for the Regional Chamber of Commerce's fourth annual Energy and Natural Resource Symposium. We weren't invited, were we?
I don't think so.
But, you know, I mean, let's be charitable. The invitation probably got lost in the mail.
I'm sure. Yeah. That's what their excuse will be.
Yeah, the dog ate it.
They posted it on their website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it, Nick?
William Jovacs with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, guys, these are the people who take out a full-page ad every election year, and it'll be appearing in the Charleston and Huntington papers here probably in another couple of days, if it hasn't already. Full-page ad, West Virginia is a judicial hellhole, because the extraction industries and the malpracticing doctors can't get away with open murder, that occasionally one of them gets caught. Well, William Jovacs is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he says government regulations affecting businesses now total 102,000 and increased by about 4,000 a year. Bad old regulations. Well, I guess none of them were on Wall Street, were they?
No.
No, no. Because it's still melting, I noticed. 300 and some odd points down today. Yeah, beautiful.
I think it's going to get worse. I really do.
It is. I don't, you know, and you read the business periodical. Where is the floor? There ain't no floor. You know, when we were traveling to Roanoke, Nick, I played you a great song by the Truckers called Gravity's Gone. Feels like gravity's gone and I'm just floating. And, well, the only thing, the market can't float. It just dives. So this is the best part, though, the last paragraph of the article. Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship says government regulations make it difficult to produce energy and encourages companies to ship coal to more profitable overseas markets like China. Now, what the hell does that mean? I mean, Nick, thought?
Oh, it means they're selling every last piece of America to every foreign country they can. They'll ship Appalachia out to anybody, man.
Selling Appalachia by the ton,
yeah,
I guess.
Ton. Definitely the ton.
Really, what's he saying? That the coal they're digging is so filthy that it can't be burned here? I haven't, you know, I'm sad to say that all of this is still running on filthy coal-fired electricity. And we're not having any brownouts or anything. I mean, I think we're still burning it.
Oh, yeah. Every day. Well, every second.
Yeah, one of these days, By the way, and that's some good news. Did you see the stories about Appalachian Power has finally entered the 21st century, and you can buy green energy from them?
Well, that's I've heard that, but there's also a thing where certain places can, but certain places can't. So.
Oh, so it's not statewide yet?
Not last time I've checked, no.
Well, I looked a couple, and I guess it would cost us, based on what our power bills are, about $30 a month extra to be guaranteed that our energy was green. But the irony, oh, here's the irony part. You know where they're getting their green energy? It's coming from a wind farm in Illinois.
Oh, man. Well, you know, the thing is, why can't we have wind farms here? You know,
why can't?
That's the problem. That's, I don't understand that.
And
because the coal's there,
and
then,
you know,
the
that's right. But they can have the coal. They can, and they can.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, we're not going to quit burning it tomorrow. Nobody thinks that. But we got to stop burning it sooner or later because there's not going to be any of it to burn.
That's correct. And I think the other thing is the reason why they don't want to do it. I think they like blowing the mountains up. To tell you the truth, I think they really do. I think they enjoy.
Dang, that's fun when the things blow up. You've been around, and man, it makes your liver quiver. I mean, it's cool.
Well, you can actually feel the. If you're close enough, you can actually feel the. What do you call that? The repercussions?
Yeah, the percussive force.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I said. It makes your liver quiver. And I mean, and all that stuff flies around and just boom, like 4th of July every day.
Yeah.
I think I just hurt Nick.
Oh, that's mean.
But no, I think you're right. They enjoy making it all go boom.
Oh, yeah.
But beyond that, you know, I got nothing against Illinois.
No, nothing at all. I'm glad,
and I'm glad they've got wind farms in Illinois. Hell yeah. On the other hand, however, we got great places to put them here.
Oh, there's many places here. I mean, you got these big mountains here that.
I mean, aren't we at a higher elevation than?
Oh yeah, definitely in Illinois. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and when you get up there, I mean, anybody that's ever.
Well, it's like the Corbin Mountain is one of the prime places to put a wind farm. They're trying to do it in Gully Mountain. You know?
Well, we'd love to, you know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we're trying to do it. It's the
well, we got to kind of race them to the
well,
dynamite.
Well, the permits. They're trying to get the permits. You know, that's the whole thing.
And you know, it's a. I mean, if it wasn't dark, I'd take you down because you haven't been here before. I'd take you down there and show it to you.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen any of the MTR sites around here at all. So.
Well, they mean that. They mean for you not to.
Well, that's exactly on Coal River, the same thing. They do it just over the ridge, so to the eye, when you come down the route, you don't even see the stuff. But now, they're getting really bold, Bob, because they're doing it right on the road now. So, it's they've actually come out of the closet with it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things, you know, they talk about, well, you know, this is a brilliant, inexpensive, highly efficient way of my. Well, why not let us watch you kill the mountains?
Well, that's what they're doing. They're killing everything. They're even killing. You know,
they're killing the wildlife.
Everything. The ecosystem. Everything.
Well, you spent a lot of time as a kid running around those hills.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I imagine you've probably chased Bambi a few times.
Oh yeah, of course.
And
chased a lot of things.
Nick, you were telling me the other day that because of what they're doing down your way, they're forcing all the life out of its habitats. You've got a bear problem you never had before, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, man. I got black bears that come down and get in my garbage about every evening.
And, you know, you just don't want to go down and take up the issue with them, do you?
Yeah, you know, there's not much you're going to do arguing with a black bear. I think I know how that's going to end, you know.
But it's kind of pathetic. Because they wouldn't be there if their habitat wasn't being destroyed.
You're exactly right, Bob.
And I don't know. I don't. You know, these are not small animals. God, what can they run?
Four, five, 600 pounds.
Yeah,
easy.
You hit one of those with your car.
Oh, your car is done. Probably you too. So.
Yeah. But more and more that's happening. So. You know, that's the kind. But meanwhile, it's worth remembering that the poor, pitiful, multimillionaire, probably billionaires by now, coal executives think that the government's being too rough on them.
Well, like they say, coal keeps the lights on, and that's just so stupid. It gets me, these billboard signs that say stuff like that. The one that really gets the best one is the Cat Walker one. Says it.
Well, that's a campaign poster. You realize that.
Yeah, but they are actually lying to the public.
Have you heard the new commercial?
No.
They have a new radio ad.
No.
Walker Machinery has a new radio ad for Colta Liquids, and it ends with their slogan.
Well, yes, the carbon neutral. Yeah, that's, yeah, there's no such thing. As a matter of fact, Bob, I think when I called in last week, we talked about that, about there's no such thing as clean coal. I mean, there isn't. I mean, anyway, if it's a piece of coal, you can see it. It is not clean.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Let's see. Click here.
Oh, you're going on the site.
Yeah, let's see if we can. Oh, the nerve of those bastards. They show the New River Gorge Bridge on their website.
Oh, no!
Oh, that's pretty, that's pretty sick.
Let's see. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Yeah, let's see if this.
Liquid plant.
Yeah, let's see if this works. All right, load up. Come on. You know, they're pro coal people, so they haven't really caught up with the inner tubes yet. They may not have it completely figured out.
Oh, there's actually a video, huh?
Shh, don't say that. This is radio, Benji.
Sorry.
My bad. Come on, you gotta play. You gotta.
Maybe there's a lot of people trying to watch that, Bob. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, yeah, like their little phony CGI fireflies. Shucks, no, I love living on the mountaintop removal site.
Yeah, that's another one that's really amusing.
And the southern bell bug.
Oh, that's even better. Or I should say worse, but whatever you want to say.
Oh, come on, load you.
Building coal to liquid plants offers.
Oh, these cheapskates can't even afford a server that doesn't buffer up the minute you turn it on. What a bunch of rotten low life bastards. Or maybe my player just can't stand the lying. This is ridiculous. Because I know we're not taxing the stream or anything. What a bunch of cheap stuff. Oh, here we go.
Building coal to liquid plants offers work of the highest purpose. By expanding high-wage, high-tech work into transportation solutions like coal-to-liquids, West Virginians can lead the nation to lower gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel prices. That puts money in the family budget and lessens our dependence on foreign oil. Yes, coal. Clean, carbon-neutral coal keeps West Virginia working.
Takes a lot of nerve to call coal carbon-neutral. And really, I want those billboards translated into Spanish so that it says carbon neutral carbon. It's like laxative free laxative.
I think they should partner with O'Doul's, for alcohol free beer.
Only that really is.
Yeah, well, that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. They should, in order to up the PR on that, to try to make it more.
Yeah, this is more like. Well, okay, here it is. Here it is. Fat free fat.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah,
well, it's like cigarettes, non-nicotine cigarettes.
Yeah, although I gotta tell you, News Ninja Gene. Nah, they'd probably say they're crappy servers powered by wind, greasy greedheads. Well, we'd make this thing run for you, but the wind turbine quit spinning. See, it's not reliable. News Ninja Gene that just chimed in there sent me a story, and you guys are gonna love this. The true applicability of science. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. A bunch of undergraduate biochem majors or whatever, or medical, maybe pre-med students or what, at Rice University in Houston. And you know how it is. You're sitting around with your buddies. You're underage. They're all underage, mind you. This is what makes the story so fun. They're all sitting around. They're underage. They can't buy their own beer, but, you know, a fraternity brother or something's brought in a case or whatever, and they're all sitting around with a little bit of a face on. And one of them goes, dude, you know, they say that, like, if you drink wine, you won't get cancer. Why couldn't we, like, do that with beer? I mean, why can't we have cancer, like, preventing beer? I'm not into the wine, dude. I can't drink hot stuff. My beer's got to be cold. And so these young smart kids from Rice University went to their little genetics lab.
Oh boy!
And they started monkeying with the yeast.
Oh, here we go.
so that it would produce this substance called resveratrol, which is the substance in red wine that accounts for the French dichotomy. I mean, you ever met a Frenchman?
No, I haven't.
People swill wine. You know, they put cream sauce on their cornflakes to the extent they eat cornflakes. I mean, you know, they everything. You know, oh, well, you know, it's all cream and fat and goo, and it's delicious and yummy. And they're the ones that invented the phrase, le gras et la faveur, you know, fat is flavor. Mm-hmm. And they swill red wine, and they smoke those god-awful French cigarettes, Guitans or... I don't know, the Marshall Foch or whatever the name of it, but they're just vile. They smell like a burning trash dump. And they smoke them one, I mean, they light them one off, one right after the other. Mm-hmm. And their cancer rate is like, and it's because of the substance in the wine. So these young researchers who are not old enough to drink beer have decided to, and it's neat because they don't want to genetically manipulate the barley, which I think is cool because I'm not into genetically manipulate, but they're just going to teach the yeast to create this chemical along the way. And I loved it. News Ninja Gene sent me this story from Slashdot, and some wise ass down the line commenting on it said, yeah, if they could just make a cigarette that cures baldness, everything would be good. But that's where the future is. It was one of you guys. You know how long they've been using the phrase clean coal?
Oh, it's been a while. I don't know what was that.
It's over 100 years they've been talking about clean coal.
I didn't know that.
I had heard that it was something that Senator Byrd sort of wanted to put into the clean air law when they were trying to do
that. Well, think of it, it's a bold-faced lie. That's what we all need to remember, you know, that it is. There is no such thing as that. So how they can come out and market something like that is absurd.
Well, it's complete propaganda. It's unreal. Like,
exactly. It's like
going back to the World War II era when, you know, propaganda was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, you're going to love this email rolling in. We've got a buddy down in South Carolina by the name. We've got a lot of Davids.
Davids?
Yeah, we got David in Maine, David in Tennessee, and we got this David in South Carolina. And he says, indeed, what a long, strange trip it has been and is. I've been listening since February 2005 when you were on the radio station. We've all become family as we've experienced bumps and turns in the road. My youngest daughter, Candace, has memorized the Thanksgiving story. You guys got to wait for that one. She's learned all about mountaintop removal and explains it in her class. I remember how your show caught my ear when I heard, Hell No, I'm Not Happy. We experienced together the sorrow of losing a loved one. We all appreciate the attention you gave to Jacob. That's David's grandson as he fought for his life. We love Agnes, too, and enjoy it when she comes on the air. I got in a habit of not calling in because our phone was always tied up, so I've sent in emails instead since I'm usually on the computer. I hope all of us get to meet in person someday. Congratulations to the entire Horn family and extended family. And please play one of those cool DBT songs. All right.
Hell yeah, Dave. Hope to meet you too, man.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Play one of those cool DBT songs. Oh, let's see. You know what? I love this one. And I don't think David would mind this in the least. No. Oh. Come on, I have it inside. All right. This will take a second. For some reason, it's not cooperating. There it is. Here we go. And let's try. Yeah, right there. Here you go, David. Enjoy. We will. Mm-hmm. it took me a little longer to get done what I did, so that's why we went into the second song. Sorry for pulling it up short, but now we got more music, more requests to play tonight, and more fun to have. There's certainly no dearth of it this evening. And let's see if this works.
Hello, mic check, 1, 2.
Oh, let's see, it will in a minute. As soon as I make it behave.
And I am live. All right.
Yes, you are.
Got my own microphone, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Nick.
Hello, hello.
That's Benji.
I'm here.
Mouseketeer roll call.
Check.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Credit card. Cash.
Something.
Let's see. Okay, so we're done with the coal executives. Let's go back and have a little bit more fun with some other okay, visual moment. I got up this morning and I saw a posting about everybody knows by now about the $150,000 that the Republican National Committee has spent on gussying up the Godzilla from Wasilla. Sarah Palin.
Queen Palin.
Yeah, Queen Palin. That's right. Mm-hmm. Have you been by the way, Nick, have you been going back and checking out Palin as president.com?
I have.
Have you seen this?
Yeah. Yes, I have. After Nick told me about it.
You got to go every day because they're updating every day until November 4th.
It's pretty cool.
These are some very, very, these are funny people with too much time on their hands.
Yes.
if you've never been to PalinAsPresident.com, go and just use your little mouse until it turns into a hand, going around the room and see what happens. And don't assume that just because you did something once that you don't have to do it a second time, because surprises happen, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll just leave you saying, oh, bless their hearts.
Maverick.
Mavericky.
Oh, so they're on the nuclear codes.
Learning's hard.
No degree. Learning's hard. PA, here I come.
Iranistan. Something stand.
Cactus stand. I think we're ruining it for people.
Yeah. Maybe
no, you got to go. No, you'll laugh your ass off when you go and find out where it is that this is. And again, this is another one of those things that the guys at WD40.com turned me on to. And I got to remind you, WD40.com, my first stop in show prep every day, Clyde and Wally and Dookie, genius guys. They're, like I said, they're not going to dry up and blow away just because George Bush does. There's changes coming to the website, and they'll be coming soon, and I will let you, I've had a sneak peek. Shh. Because they like me, the guys. I've had a sneak peek at what it's going to be, and you're going to love it. It is going to be so cool. I'll let you know when the big change comes. And when it does, I think you will be thrilled to pieces. Now, I just saw a screenshot, and it's going to be really neat. And you'll enjoy the heck out of it. And I think it's really going to set the guys free, too. And you're going to have a heck of a good time. But anyway, Godzilla from Wasilla. I got up this morning and there was an alert from, I forget where, but somebody pointing out this photo of little pooper, Piper, Palin. You know that she's got to catch hell in school. Because, you know, I've got a second grade mentality and that's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a photograph of her from the back, turning her head over her shoulder, I guess, to look back at her demonic mother. And she's carrying a Louis Vuitton bag.
Oh, of course.
I'd love to buy Agnes a Louis Vuitton bag.
I wonder if Sarah picked that up on her $150,000
shopping
spree.
Well, see, that's the implication. Of course, if I went out and spent $1,000 on a purse for Agnes, she'd put a brick in it and hit me.
Oh yeah.
You spent what? What's the matter with you? Oh, I'm gonna, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful. And by the way, Louis Vuitton was a Nazi collaborator.
Really?
Yeah, just like Coco Chanel. But this picture shows Piper Palin, little second grader that she is. You know, Sarah told us, yeah, that sounds like a question my little second grader Piper would ask me there, don't you know, eh? And so, but here she is. But it turns out it's a fake
Louis Vuitton bag.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't say across it fake Louis Vuitton bag, and it doesn't have, like, Play School or Mattel written on it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this seems so shallow and so superficial that I'm almost ashamed of myself for bringing it up, but there's a reason. And that reason is it's a knockoff. It's a bootleg. It is a pirate Louis Vuitton bag.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go places and you see these things for sale and you know that they're knockoffs. Well, and, I mean, it's just like back in the day when you'd go into the truck stop and find, you know, the latest, I don't know, John Denver album or whatever. And there's no way that that thing was, you know, $2.95 on 8-track. It had been pirated. Well, it's the same thing with this handbag. Because, I mean, I know there are places you can go around here and buy things that say Gucci or...
Nike.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Mm-hmm. Even
Prada.
Even colognes.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. And they're not real. But it's the where they come from part. And the reason I kind of went bing when I saw this was because I remember having to explain. We had this expo in Beckley back in the bad old days, since it's anniversary night. Back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, we had this women, the station sponsored this women's expo, and there was a person there who was selling, you know, $50 Louis Vuitton bags. Now, either these came out of the back of a hijacked semi somewhere in New Jersey, and they were real, or they were counterfeits. And again, it was Louis Vuitton, it was Gucci, it was the Dolce & Gabbana, it was Prada, all of that stuff. And I remember taking the fundamentalist, and boy, was he, taking the fundamentalist general manager aside and said, you know, you've got somebody in here displaying at your expo who's in league with the terrorists, don't you there? And, what? Praise Jesus. No. Mm-hmm. You do. And then I had to explain to him that there had been investigative work done, and the proceeds from these knockoff bags sort of worms its way back into the purses of the people who hate us.
Oh.
Yeah. So what I want to know is why Sarah Palin and, by extension, her little daughter Pepper, what the hell ever, are palling around with terrorists.
Wow. See, I would have just went for the assumption that there was, you know, 30 sweatshop kids getting paid like half a penny an hour.
Well, they probably still do.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. But this is, you know, this is why is she allowing her kid to carry a terrorist handbag? Look, you know, I mean, I'm not the one that made her do it. She's got a little counterfeit Louis Vuitton bag in her right hand and a McDonald's cup in the other. So yeah, let's get little Piper some high fructose corn sweetener there, Mussolini, while we're at it. Yeah, her pancreas is loving that. Jesus criminy. So if you see that story, just sort of be alert to what the hell is going on. Let's see. Now we did that story. Oh. Here's one. We haven't done any real audio this evening, so let's enjoy the heck out of this. Mussolini sat down for a conversation with NBC's Brian Williams. Yeah, really. And... It turns out to be almost as much fun as the conversation with Cutesy Couric and the conversation with Charlie Brownnose Gibson.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, so he asks her. I'll let you hear it. But you know what? I watched this the first time last night, and I had to stop and give thanks. I had to stop and give thanks for the fact that Walter Cronkite is in retirement and is not there to interview this woman.
Oh,
because
Shirley.
And don't call me Shirley. if Walter Cronkite or a real journalist, you know, Howard K. Smith or any of those guys, any of the old pros, if any of those were interviewing Sarah Palin and they asked her an honest, straightforward question and she came back with one of her sprayed roach crazy answers, their little heads would, and we'd watch spontaneous human brain combustion on the air, and it would be all messy and icky. But thank God there's an empty suit like Brian Williams to ask her questions. And you'll hear why I say this, because the follow-up is not exactly piercing journalism. So here we go.
Is an abortion clinic bomber a terrorist under this definition? Governor?
There's no question that Bill errs via his own admittance.
Damn it! See, that's what would happen if a real journalist was asked. Lady, I asked you if an abortion clinic bomber is a domestic terrorist, and you said Bill errs.
Yeah.
Bill errs never bombed any abortion clinics.
Lay off the talking points.
Jiminy Christmas. Okay, let's see.
What's next?
Let's see if I can do this without my little head exploding.
Is an abortion clinic bomber a terrorist under this definition? Governor?
There's no question that Bill Ayers, via his own admittance, was one who sought to destroy our U.S. Capitol and our Pentagon.
Is there an abortion clinic in the U.S. Capitol or the Pentagon? Benji?
No.
Nick? Please!
That is a domestic terrorist. There's no question there. Now, others who would want to engage in harming innocent Americans or facilities that...
Code, dog whistling, right-wing... Now we've got 3 years here of learning to speak right-wing code. What's she saying there? It's just... I'm sorry, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or dead moose. Let's just...
There's no question there. Now, others who would want to engage in harming innocent Americans...
Who? Class, quiz time. Who are the innocent Americans?
Really?
Who are the innocent Americans? You know, someone who would want to harm innocent Americans? You do remember that the only court case this woman can name... is Roe v. Wade, right?
Well, yeah. The
innocent,
over and over.
Yeah, the innocent Americans. Oh, they're the little unborn fetuses, don't you know? You know, hey, sure, you betcha. Little fetuses. And we only care about them while they're in the womb. After they're on their own then. Hmm. So those are so that's where the dog whistling comes in. By his own admittance. She did, Marty. I know. Makes your little head hurt, doesn't it? So that's dog whistling. So everything that you're about to hear is her tacitly excusing the murders and the bombings at abortion clinics. See, they make me do it. These aren't just, they're
abortion mills.
Nah, they do lots of other things besides abortions there, too. They do rape counseling. They do...
Sex education.
They do stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah, lots of other important women's health.
Yeah. I mean, but to hear the right wing say it, you know, it's just, you know, take a number. Next uterus, please. Scrape. Sailing baptisms for everybody. So that's what this, you know, the innocent Americans.
Or facilities that it would be unacceptable to... I don't know if you're going to use it.
Facilities that would be unacceptable, and I don't want anybody accusing me of taking anything out of context, so let's back it up. I won't interrupt, and you hear it again.
Destroy our U.S. Capitol and our Pentagon, that is a domestic terrorist. There's no question there. Now, others who would want to engage in harming innocent Americans or facilities that it would be unacceptable to... I don't know if you're going to use the word terrorist there, but it's unacceptable
It's unacceptable. No, what's unacceptable to her is abortion.
Yeah.
And if you'll, and I don't mean to be too geeky or hillbilly elitist or anything, but there was a thing, I guess maybe it was at Slate or Salon or something a couple of weeks ago where some poor soul tried to diagram one of this freak sentences, and it can't be done. Because she just opens her mouth and random words babble out, like, you know, playing some old rock and roll album backwards. You know, I buried Paul Palin. what she just said, because there's no verb there, she just tacitly agreed that it's okay to do things to abortion clinics. I mean, just I don't want anybody. No. Here.
Engage in harming innocent Americans or facilities that it would be unacceptable to. I don't know if you're.
Facilities that it would be unacceptable. She's talking not. She doesn't know how to talk in anything but dog whistle. She's talking about it.
That, and she never really answers the question.
Well, no.
That's the other thing.
Actually, a verb, Governor. We need a verb.
You know, Cossack in the chat room has a good point. You know, these places don't have a sign on them that says abortion clinic. You know, they're called women's health facilities.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point I was trying to. Right. They deal with women's health issues. Just like, you know, you don't send a woman to a doctor who deals with prostates because they ain't got one. And we don't have all the stuff and so there's specialized doctors for, it's abortion clinics. So, but what she said, she can't bring herself really to say that people who bomb abortion clinics are domestic terrorists. But let's go on.
We're going to use the word terrorist there, but it's unacceptable and it would not be condoned, of course, on our watch. But I don't know if what you're asking is if I regret referring to Bill Ayers as an unrepentant domestic terrorist.
No, damn it. He asked you if someone who bombs an abortion clinic is a domestic terrorist.
Bill Ayers.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah, well, if Bill Ayers bombs an abortion clinic, then we'll have to you know.
He's infatuated with Bill Ayers, I think.
Right. And, oh, God, I don't even want that. Oh, the images. Go sit in the corner, Benji.
Sorry.
But what's the, you know, look here. And see, you'll notice, okay, let's take it a little further because I want you to hear what Brian Williams doesn't do.
I don't regret characterizing him as that.
Well, I'm just asking what other categories you would put in there. Abortion clinic bombers, protesters in cities where fires were started, Molotov cocktails were thrown, people died.
I would put in that category of Bill Ayers anyone else who would seek to campaign to destroy our United States Capitol and our Pentagon and would seek...
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Bill Ayers.
Anybody who campaigns to try to destroy our United States Capitol and our Pentagon, golly. Now, what I was getting at is I wanted you to see what Brian Williams didn't do in this clip. There's one very simple question. And the question is, okay, you didn't want to answer that one. Governor, hundreds of people died in Oklahoma City. And it wasn't some left-wing radical from the 60s. It wasn't that long ago. It was 13 years. Governor, that man believed in a lot of the things that you believe in.
Oh, yes, he did.
He was a right-wing freak, just like you. Governor, was Timothy McVeigh a domestic terrorist? Well, you know, I don't know about putting all these names on people and everything, but, you know, anybody who would, you know, did he try to bomb our U.S. Capitol and our Pentagon? Has he ever had a cold cup of coffee with William Ayers? Then he's a terrorist if he did. I mean, I got a sharp standard for that one, don't you know? You betcha. Jesus. Have you met anybody, either of you? Have you met anybody who thinks that she really, honest to God, could be president of the United States? And
honestly, I have not come into contact with one person, truthfully. I mean, I've seen a few signs and yards, but I've never actually ran into one person that presents anything pro-Palin.
No, not at all.
And yet they're saying that they're going to win West Virginia?
I don't think they're going to win anything, to be totally honest with you.
Oh, I'm just scared to death that we're going to go, when the rest of the country goes forward, we're going to go backwards. And it makes me just weep for my state. And I know you guys are the same. So, let's see. Let's check out a couple of emails. Our pal Cindy in the Great Northwest says, it's a gynecology clinic.
All things vagina, don't you know?
You betcha. Oh, and there's another little funsy to hit. because, you know, there's some talk out there about the governor. You've been to the doctor before. You betcha. Oh, what about your medical records? Well, isn't that sweet? She says she might release her medical records. Don't you know? She's thinking about it, but she's not entirely sure. Because why? Well, because okay. Look, here's why she doesn't want to really. Okay, let's go to the audio first. This is again Brian Williams.
Before we begin airing the conversation, this moment first from late in our conversation that will make news tonight about the growing request these days for Sarah Palin to release her medical records.
Did I hear you just agree to release your medical records?
The medical records, so be it. If that will allow some curiosity seekers perhaps to have one more thing that they can either check the box off that they can find something to criticize perhaps, or find something to rest them assured over, fine.
Rest them assured?
Yeah. That's the way it's told.
The poor little English language. It's been taken out behind the barn and crowbarred. Oh, it's just terrible.
Healthy, happy, had 5 kids. That's going to be in the medical records. Never been seriously ill or hurt. You'll see that in the medical records if they're released.
That.
Okay. Time out. Why would it, if somebody's going to release it, did you hear the frustration? Oh, well, so be it.
Yeah, she was upset.
They're going to have to do a lot of work, I suspect.
Somebody in the chat room just requested her exorcism records.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Well, oh, yeah. Hey, but wait, come on, guys. I mean, let's live in reality land. How long do you think it'll take to scrub out the abortions?
Yeah. You might be onto something there, Bob.
Never know.
Don't say onto something in the same sentence with Sarah Palin. Agnes will come back here, and that microphone will not taste good, Nick. Jesus. The abortions? Abortions? Or, you know, there's this ongoing thing about whether or not little baby calculus is really hers.
Well, that's what I've actually done thought of that the whole time. I think it's her daughter's.
Let me take it a step further. Might not be her daughter's because supposedly the timing doesn't work out right because her daughter's already preggers.
Well, yeah, it's true, but, well, yeah, it might be right.
So there's one other possibility. She is affiliated and hooked up with a right-wing fundamentalist religion industry freak who's in the baby mill business. Trig, calculus, whatever, may not be hers. In other words, when she releases her records, if there aren't records of her being pregnant,
yeah,
then, well, where'd the baby come from? Because there's all kinds of photos out there of her, like, at 7, 8 months, not showing.
Yeah.
I mean, at all. And it's not because she's wearing a, you know, a really big AC/DC t-shirt or something.
It's divine birth, don't you know?
Oh, you betcha. The Holy Spirit came upon me. Stop it. You guys are going to get me in trouble. So, you know, you just got to ask, don't you? Oh, you do, don't you know? But, you know, I want my mind to rest there assured, or whatever the hell it was she said. This woman is poison, and she's a dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy liar is what she is. I mean, by the way, the news came out today. Oh, God, this is so shallow. And a bunch of guys talking about it, it makes it even more so. First half of October, the highest paid staff member of the McCain-Palin campaign team. Anybody?
No,
guesses? Marketing director, the director in charge of polling data, caterer? No, her makeup artist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's okay, guys. They're going to donate all the clothing.
Whatever she wears it, they're going to donate it?
Yeah, they're going to donate all the clothing to charity.
Where was her makeup artist on the cover of Newsweek?
Oh. maybe the makeup artist will use a little mustache wax. I don't know. But... but anyway, yeah, I know. You got to keep up with me, guys. So they're going to donate all this clothing to charity, and you know that the boys and girls under the bridge drinking the screw top wine are going to be really styling later this winter when they're freezing.
Oh yeah,
women's clothes too.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, no, they bought $5,000 worth for Tide. They bought him $5,000 worth too, and you know he'll get rid of that. I'm not going to wear that sissy lower 48 state stuff when I get home and go a snowmobiling. You know, because this guy's a secessionist in the first place, which takes me back to Timothy McVeigh. Mm. Now, Timothy McVeigh was one of those people who wanted to bring down the federal government. He had his own copy of the Turner Diaries written by that creepy bastard here in West Virginia who died a little while back. Had his own copy of the Turner Diaries. And he shares a philosophical approach that her husband does. I mean, I'm not trying to be sleazy about this, but he just does. I mean, Todd Palin belonged to the Alaska Independence Party.
Yeah.
He's a secessionist.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not surprised because John McCain, of course, his forebears, he's only two or three generations removed from secessionists themselves. Because, well, like I saw this this article earlier today, because, let's see, C.C. Goldwater, who was the niece of Barry Goldwater, came out and said she was supporting Barack Obama. And then Barry Goldwater's son came out and said, "You dirty so-and-so, how dare you say that? John McCain is a proud son of Arizona, and Barry would be, my dad would be proud to support him." You know, we're all talking about a dead guy, of course.
Of course.
So, yeah. On top of it all, though, Barry Jr. says, "John McCain is a proud son of Arizona." And I read that, and it's, oh, stop it! John McCain's Arizona roots extend to Evan Meekham, Charles Keating, and the Beer Heiress. Otherwise, he's Charles Keating. Otherwise, he's John McCain of Idaho.
What about Joe the Plumber? Is he related in England?
Oh yeah.
Charles.
Yeah, Joe the Plumber is related to what was his name? The Wingle Whipper or Wurzelbacher. Wurzelbacher. He's related. Wurzelbacher did like 20 or 40 months in prison for the Keating Five scandal. He was part of that whole thing. And, yeah, this guy's like the nephew or something. Jesus, it's sickening. You got to put on hip waders to wander into this stuff. our pal Georgia caught it, too. What? The dingbat used admittance instead of admission to boot? Am I wrong, or is this a faux pas? Loving the show, Georgia. No, you're not wrong. It is a faux pas, only if you're from Wasilla, you call it a fox pass. So, by the way, our pal Thunderstone says, happy birthday to you and everyone at Head On Radio. Not sure if I'll be able to make it into the chat room, but I'm not missing a beat of the show. So glad I found all of you. Thoughts, love, and hugs to all, including my chat buddies, Thunderstone.
Much love to you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is just really cool. And I got an instant message a few minutes ago that we will likely be joined by John Fox here presently. And so let's take a quick break, and we'll go to another one of the requested tunes from that Reverbo sent us earlier in the evening. This looks like it's got a lot of potential. This is from Southern Culture on the Skids, a little something called Earth Mover. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch, Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
This generation!
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Yeah, still don't have it entirely figured out. That Peace Generation part was not at the end of the Decider promo. God, those things were beautiful. Just wonderful. And kind of waiting now. By the way, was that song great or what? Thanks, Reverbo. Awesome stuff. Sort of waiting on John Fox to go ahead and connect all the way from Sydney. And, of course, your phone calls are welcome. Don't just sit here waiting for me and Benji and Nick to babble our way through all of this. You're welcome to chime right in, too. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Oh, this has been a hoot tonight. And just, there he is. I think we have him, by Jove. Do we have John Fox?
Yeah, Bob, the Holy Spirit came upon me. That woke me up.
Yeah. And didn't leave Kleenex. Oh, God.
I'm, you know, having that slow kind of Saturday coffee thing and, you know, Gail.
Oh, did you do a monitor spray?
No, I wasn't that close to the computer, but I was just like, what?
I know. Couldn't help it. Just opened my mouth and the bats flew out. What's a guy to do?
So the boy's still there with you?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
I'm still here.
Yeah, Benji's there. Nick's coming back. No, hey, you'd be so proud of me, John. I wired a microphone in on the fly.
Good on you, man. You see, old dogs can learn new tricks.
Yes, so far it's working out nicely. Here, let me pot Nick up. Have you guys ever gotten to talk? That's right. Yeah, Nick called into the show.
What's up, John?
How you going, mate?
Oh, goody goody.
Well, I got to tell you, I was listening to the Coal River Mountain Watch ad just before the Coal River Wind thing, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, when you guys asked me to do that little bit of music, you know, you sit there going, all right, 30 seconds of music, and you just kind of wonder whether, you know, 2 weeks later you're just going to be hating it. And it's grown on me, and I'm actually really happy with it.
I love that.
Oh, let me tell you, John, the response to that is phenomenal, man. People love it. Actually, the first day that I got it back, I had in the office, we had a group of students from Wheeling Jesuit that were going on a complete environmental tour. They stopped by our office, Highlands Conservancy. They went to the Coal Association, everywhere. And I actually got to test it on a, you know, complete unsuspecting audience, man, and they were blown away by it. Full standing, you know, ovation, man. It was great. Thank you
very
much.
Well, you know, and it wasn't a thing like, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything. It wasn't that. It was just, you know, I was listening to it going, hey, you know what? That actually holds up, you know, whatever it is 2 months later.
Yeah, no, man. I'm telling you, it was, I couldn't even foresee how perfect it was going to be.
Hey, John, you know, I was digging around for some of these old promos. You know the only one I couldn't find?
Which one?
I couldn't find March Mango Madness.
Man, I'm kicking myself at the moment because I still haven't been able to get my music drive seen by my PC since the USB case went kaputsky, and all that stuff's on there, and I just can't get at it. And I wish I had it because that was a classic. I was expecting to actually hear that one at some point.
Well, I haven't entirely given up, but I'm trying to think of, you know, to give you an idea, we've been through so many incarnations of the production machine that I have, Peter helped me set up, and each one, we tried to save all the data from the previous one, and I think we were successful. But I've got files now on the desktop, shortcut to Beast 1, shortcut to Old Desktop, shortcut to Old Desktop 2, and God only knows where it could be. And I tried a search. I looked for Mango, looked for Madness, looked for March Mango Madness, looked for FER, and so far nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, all that stuff precedes my laptop. And, you know, I'd done the smart thing and put it all in remote storage, but I didn't realize the power supply and the remote storage device would decide to just go.
Yeah, the one thing you don't expect to do that.
You know, the drive's fine. It's been tested. I just can't, you know, I try and stick it in an IDE slot, and the computer goes, that's confusing me. So I'm stumped at the moment.
I'm so
enough
confused.
Enough of that, man. Yeah, enough of that. Enough of that. I still, you know, I've been still trying to process that, you know, that has it actually been 3 years? Or sometimes I think, you know, is it only 3 years?
Yeah, it is. It's tough to decide because, you know, that's a bunch of shows. That is a whole bunch of shows. And, in fact, if we're going to really have a big hoopla about this, you know, like for the fifth, I think, let's put it this way. I think if we're going to do this for the fifth anniversary, we'd better start working on the show now.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go through the archives, you know, I started yesterday. And then, but every time, and this is kind of a failing of mine because I guess I don't keep up with the content of the shows. Mark Levine, for instance, is much, much more organized. And he, you know, tags his shows and he, you know, gives them subjects and stuff like that. And I haven't done that. So it's all just listed by date. And it's like, God only knows what I did when I did it. So, you know, I don't know. Let's start working on the fifth anniversary show right now.
Yeah, clip shows are a nightmare. I remember, you know, what, about a year and a half ago or something, we were on one of our, you know, fundraising, you know, things.
Yeah, that was, that was a year ago this past September, I guess. Yeah.
And, you know, you needed me to come up with, like, you know, 6 minutes of the horn in general. And, you know, it was
and
like
it's
a week.
Absolute madness.
Yeah, and it was like a week of that. Of working on it, and at the end you're like going, is that all I've got? Are you kidding? You know, because, you know, trying to, going through, you know, 1, 2, 3 hour shows to go and find 30 and 40 second snippets.
Oh, John, I found it.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Here we go.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there? Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
I still love that.
I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. Oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to walk through. Yes, I'm.
God, it's all like it's brand new again, isn't it?
But I sit there and I'm going, oh, yeah, I picked this piece of music for a reason. And then, oh, you are the one to abuse. Right. Okay.
and of course, there's I just found, like, the mother load. Yeah, there's a couple of other funsies. And, you know, these things are still relevant. And, you know, maybe they ought to be back in the rotation.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama, and they hate your Bible like they hate your friends. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Pitch perfect, if I do say so myself.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah.
You guys should put together a telephone one for the robocalls and do that.
Can you fear me now? Can you fear me now?
Yes, I can, mate.
Oh, and speaking of can you fear me now, we got a really sleazy little story out of West Virginia, right, guys. Check this out. Young woman up around Fairmont, she was a student at Fairmont State University. She got sent home from her part-time job not too long back. Her part-time job was working at a company called 121 Direct Response, and they are a telemarketing firm. And she went to work one morning. Get this, John. It'll just get ready for the Doppler effect as John runs screaming around the room. She walked into work and they handed her script for the day. And she looked at it and said, "I'm not reading this." They said, "Read it or go home." Well, what was she objecting to? She was objecting to a script that said, "Hello. I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because you need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, who's," and it's got a pronouncer in there, A-I-R-S, "Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, judges' home, and killed Americans. And Democrats will enact an extreme leftist agenda if they take control of Washington. Barack Obama and his Democrat allies lack the judgment to lead our country. This call was paid for by McCain Palin in 2008 in the Republican National Committee." Click.
I heard this story, and good on the woman for saying, "I'm not going to read this crap."
Yeah.
And then she came back the next day, and this is one of those dodgy things. They say she quit. She came back the next morning and said, "I don't want anything to do with you people."
Yeah.
And so she's a hardworking student, and she's down on her luck, and I hope somebody's taking care of her somewhere.
That's a shame.
I'm wondering if the Obama campaign ended up giving her a call going, "Hey, want a job?"
No, seriously. They need to put that girl to work.
Well, you know, I think that, by the way, there's an opening in the opening in the Lumpy McHoover campaign.
Oh, what position?
Community organizer. You know, door-to-door stuff. There's an opening. The young lady was working in the Pittsburgh area. She was from Texas. She was a 20-year-old. And, well, not entirely sure why, and nobody really is, why she made up stuff. But it hit, well, of course, Matt Drudge broke the story, so the for-profit media go, "Wow, yeah, he always tells the truth, Matt Drudge." And she went to the police and said that she had been going to the ATM machine when she was accosted by a 6'4" big black man. Okay, with me so far?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know this story.
Oh, yeah. So then then she says that the guy saw her McCain Palin sticker on her car and beat the snot out of her and I guess sexually assaulted her and then took a knife and carved a backwards B into her cheek.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even Michelle Malkin said something stinks about this, and there was a cop, like, a couple comments down on the page that I saw, because I had to go when I saw the Raw story linking to Malkin. And there was this cop saying, you know, I've been a cop of, like, 18 years or whatever, and he said, you know, when I first heard this story, something stunk, and when the bee is backwards, it tends to make one think that a stupid person carved it in their own face in the mirror. And this is amazing, because one of McCain's advisors actually tried to jump on this thing. And if you're so desperate that you jump on a bogus claim of mutilation by a supporter of the other side, I'm sorry, your campaign is officially over.
Yeah.
Fox, weird. They said it. You know, this is the end of the McCain campaign. I don't think it is. They're not gonna fold up their tents and go away.
Oh, they're not gonna fold up their tents, Bob. But mate, you know, there's probably a few borderline sane people that are still hanging on just due to whatever allegiances to the McCain-Palin ticket. And I guarantee you that there's going to be a good portion of that little bit of support left that he's got going, you know what? I just can't be part of this. And this seems to be the trend that we're seeing, you know, starting with, you know, Colin Powell and all this. It's just like, we can't go there. We just can't go there. And I'm hearing more and more that line of, I didn't leave my party left me. And, you know, I think that the Republicans have a chance, if the right people get a hold of the structure, to actually go through a bit of soul searching maybe over the next decade and come back as a renewed, less broken and factioned and extremist party.
Well, I tell you, you really wonder with stuff like this if it's the beginning of the end. I mean, my God, that backwards B. I'm looking at the photo right now.
Yeah. And it's
too
perfect.
And
yeah.
the mascara black eye. Oh my. Oh. It's astonishing, because the first person who put me onto this was of course Sue, our chat room moderator. And she said, I can't believe this. The little moron carved a bee into her face, and I'll bet it looked real damn good in the mirror. Oh, they're gonna believe this. This is picture, literally, John, guys, Benji, Nick, this is picture perfect of the right wing. I mean, I keep trying to tell people, they're not real bright. Mostly they're just mean.
And if it had been real, don't you think they would have been more inclined to carve an O instead of a B? Maybe
yeah.
They just
yeah,
draw a
man,
circle
why?
With a knife.
That's just crazy.
Well, what about a B.O.?
Well, she wasn't even at the ATM machine. So they even said, you know, they took pictures. You know, they take pictures at the ATM machine. She's not even on the video. So.
I mean, this child needs help. I mean, when you're down to carving yourself, I mean, doesn't that fall under the broad general heading of cry for help?
Well, if you're going to tell a story,
well, yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing. At least have your story backed up. Add yourself at the ATM machine. Do it for Joe. Come on.
So what, she's Josephine the self-mutilator? I mean, everybody's named Joe with this campaign.
Joe this, Joe that, Joe six-pack.
Oh, God. Hey, I think we got a phone call rolling in, guys. Let's see what's going on here. Well, wait a sec. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is this the famous Bob Kincaid?
It's Bob Kincaid. Is this the incredibly famous Mike Malloy?
No, This is his father. No, that guy's been dead for a long time. Hi, Bob. I just thought I would call in to congratulate you guys on your third anniversary. I'm just amazed at how well you guys have taken Head on Radio to where you've taken it.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate it. I was I was fawning a little bit earlier in the program. We were sort of going back and forth trying to figure out how this thing all. We've been analyzing how this thing got here. And I talked about all the nights and that I ran up and down I-75 and I-85 listening to you on WSB and up and down the interstate listening to WLS. And frankly, you're kind of you're the inspirational godfather of all this.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm honored, but like I've said before, I couldn't stand real work, so I had to get into talk radio. I tried having a real job, and it just took so much time, and I just thought, well, there's got to be a better way to do this. So it was either telemarketing or talk radio, so, you know.
And, well, we found out that telemarketing's not so much fun because every now and then you get handed one of those robocall scripts like that poor girl in Fairmont.
God, can you believe what's going on? And what about this Ashley Todd story? Is that her name, Ashley
Todd? Ashley Todd, 20 years old from College Park, Texas, with a backwards B in her cheek.
Oh, my God. I just, you know, when that story broke the other night, somebody sent it to me late at night. We were just getting ready to end the program, and it was like, oh, no, this is so phony, you know, right from the get-go. A backward B, the story in itself, the stereotypical attacker, it's always a 6'4" black man.
Yeah, I guess she carries around one of those yardsticks like they have going out of the convenience store where you can tell the height of the.
And so, you know, the backwards B, that was like, what, you know, I've slipped through the divider between this universe and another universe. I've slipped into McCain-Palin Republican universe where it's just madness. So when the story turned out to be utterly and absolutely false today, did you see it? Some of the right-wing blog sites, they're trying to say that Ms. Todd is really a Democrat plant.
I didn't see that yet, but I knew that would be, how could it not happen?
Well, of course she's a Democrat plant. I mean, what else would she be, right? Right? Oh, Jesus, God. Oh, well.
She's an Obama emo. Is that what they're trying to say? And
there you go.
Self-harm?
Yeah, that's John Fox. We're having a little roundtable tonight, Mike. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, just sort of reminiscing and having a little bit of fun. We've got a few days left to the election. Are we safe yet? Do you think that we're safe from, oh, I don't know, some sort of crazy false flag is there enough time left for an October surprise, do you think?
You know, I don't know what it could be. McCain and Palin are capable of pulling off an effective October surprise. I don't even know what it could be at this point, short of something that McCain-Palin doesn't come up with, you know, like a nuclear attack on Savannah or something. I don't know.
Oh, on one of those American parts of the country?
Yeah, one of the American parts of the country for sure. But I think the string is out. I think the time is up. What has happened has happened, and I don't see any way for McCain or this freak from Alaska to claw their way back. Barack Obama's lead is widening. The toss-up states are starting not to be toss-up states. Even with the theft that is going to occur of Democratic votes switched to Republican because of the machines, even when you consider the purging of the voter rolls that the Republicans have done, even with all that, I think this is going to be a landslide for the Democrats. I think they're going to have a veto-proof majority in the Senate and possibly one in the House. I think the remaining state houses that are in Republican control, a number of them are going to go. I think people, honest to God, have had enough, just enough of this. It's astonishing to me. I mean, you know, we're in talk radio. We can use hyperbole and exaggeration, but I'm not kidding when I say I have never seen the destruction of a country, the destruction of its reputation, its financial base, everything is in the toilet after 8 years of this son of a bitch. And I just, it's astonishing to me, Bob. I can't quite process the enormity of what they've done.
I've mentioned on a number of occasions that, you know, you sit there and you think back, oh, something will just pop into your mind. Hey, do you remember this? And you find yourself thinking back, you know, 6, 7 years. And the list is too enormous, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody can ever write the real story of the last 8 years, because it's been such a landslide in a negative sense, one after another after another. It's been like just a crap storm.
It's been awful.
It has been, but you know, you're right. There is this swelling sense of sickness with it all. You know, you're there in Georgia. You know, Georgia, for the love of God, that freakish man who compared Max Cleland to Osama bin Laden, he may lose his office.
Yeah, Saxby Chambliss, who is just an utter freak. He has done nothing for the state of Georgia. Nothing. The state is on the verge of just sinking underneath the waves. We have, this is in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this week, the second highest unemployment rate in the country, the second highest mortgage foreclosure rate. The jobs are disappearing down here like nowhere else in the country. And part of that is the overarching problems that Bush has caused. But every one of the Republican members of the House or the Senate who supported Bush's policies is responsible for this. And Saxby Chambliss happens to be the thug here in Georgia. Now, the guy running against him, Jim Martin, who I, you know, just happen to know, because if you live someplace for 35 years like I have, you get to know certain people like Max Cleland, like John Lewis, and like Jim Martin. He is a decent man. He's, you know, he's certainly not a liberal, but he is a good, moderate Democrat. I don't think he's quite DLC Democrat. I don't think he's that far to the right, but he's a decent man, is what I'm trying to say. Saxby Chambliss is a con artist and a liar, as are all Republican office holders to one degree or another, and that's not hyperbole.
No.
And it's just, you know, this whole thing was started back in 93 and 94 by Newt Gingrich, who is another Georgian, a member of the House, who came up with his, what he called Contract for America. We called it Contract on America, but his word list, how to start using words to identify Democrats as unpatriotic, anti-family, traitorous, treasonous, that word list that went out.
Oh, yeah.
And the American public, for the most part, is a collection of dumbasses. I mean, just absolutely stupid where it comes to the political system that we all claim we learned about in high school. You know, you stop 20 people on the street, and you know this, Bob. I don't care if you do it in your neck of the woods or here or New York or L.A. You know, I don't care. You stop 20 people and ask them to give you a five-minute synopsis of how this government is constituted, you're going to get blank stares. And the level of ignorance, political ignorance in this country, is part of why we're in the situation we're in.
Well, Ashley Todd, that's the whole point, Mike. Ashley Todd is not an anomaly.
No.
Ashley Todd is the norm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah. And it's a shame when you see these crowds, when I see these crowds, cheering McCain in this season, this political season. I see these crowds cheering Palin. It reminds me of, you know, is it the Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? How can people support any Republican on a national level right now? How do you do that and claim some kind of a hold on your sanity? I don't know how.
But you and I both know the answer to that, Mike, because every time you look at some statistic of what's right with America and what's wrong with America, ultimately the people who hold the views that are utterly insane and absolutely deleterious, not only to themselves but to us, our future, is always about 20%. And that's that same 20% that's inside the church doors every time the doors open and sometimes when they're not.
Yeah.
It's the fundamentalists running this Proposition Hate in California. You know, I'm in West Virginia. It's not like we got a lot of gay communities here.
Right.
But I feel like for the sake of the future of this country, the future of this country may be riding on that proposition in California.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Nobody has ever rationally claimed that marriage is a sacrament of the church. I realize some religionists claim that, but you know, I've said this before, and you know this. Any time you go to a wedding ceremony, when the priest, the rabbi, the imam, whoever it is, the New Ager, finally they come to this part, and now with the power vested in me by the state of Ohio, by the state of California, I pronounce you man and wife. They can't say with the power vested in me by the Christian Church, or by the Jewish faith, or by Islam. They have to acknowledge the power vested by the state. It is a state-sanctioned contract between two people. And if you want to get really anti-romantic, that's all it is. It's a contract that sets out certain agreements that two people are going to abide by. And a violation of that contract is grounds for divorce, grounds for annulling the contract. So these people who claim that marriage is a religious sacrament are crazy. They're out of their mind. But so what else is new, you know?
Right, and it's pure poison. But maybe if they defeat this in California, it calms them down a little bit. It won't make them go away, but maybe it calms them a little bit. Mike, one of my co-hosts here on the horn, John Fox, you may have heard him laughing in the background a minute ago, wanted to take just a moment with you if you don't mind. So, John, are you there?
Yeah, man. And, you know, I'm trying not to butt in because when we can't see each other and whatnot, you know, it just gets to be chaos. But, man, Mike, thanks for ringing in. It's always great to hear you. And I don't get to hear you the way that I used to, which is always a bummer. But, you know, I want to go back to you were talking about how you're seeing the fact that the numbers are just starting to line up and there's this groundswell. And we're probably going to beat whatever finagling machine nonsense goes on. And just the thing that I've been watching about this McCain campaign from a media guy's perspective, you know, I've worked in production all my life.
Right.
And from the beginning of the campaign proper, the production that the McCains were putting across was not believable.
Mm-hmm.
The one the Obamas put across was believable and amplifying what was more like reality. But then McCain kept going and being like the villain and constantly letting be known his plans. And then Obama would always put the boot down on him. You know,
right.
the Ayers-Keating thing was a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that when they went and attacked the community organizer thing at the convention, they were attacking the most important aspect and why this campaign has been a success.
Yeah.
And the Obama team has to be just congratulated for actually showing the Democrats how to run a campaign for once.
Oh, my God. They really were ready for this. I was just absolutely blown away with the organization. It goes back to the Saul Alinsky dictum of organize, organize, organize. And that's what these people have done. And to denigrate that, as you point out, as they did at the Republican convention, and then, of course, that famous line that came after it, Jesus was a community organizer, Pontius Pilate was the governor. You know, I think that was so effective and made such a salient point. And as far as community organizers are concerned, that became code word for black man. You know, it became code word for, you know, a black person helping black people. And what these rednecks, and I realize the terminology I'm using here, but I'm just fed up to my guts with this. The rednecks just don't understand how the quality of their life is improved every single day, not just by taxes, but by community organizers. And there again, you know, I have to come back to that Mount Everest of ignorance that is just shocking in this country. After 232 years, you'd think, Jesus, God, haven't we figured this out yet? I'm sounding like I'm on my own program. I'm sorry.
anytime, Mike, anytime. We're all just thrilled to pieces. Well, I know you've got show prep to do and everything.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of it. But that's all right, Bob. I just You know, I feel like I was around at the beginning when you guys put Head On together, and could have been a part of that. You know, the Drobneys came up with something for me to pull my rear end out of the fire that I got into with Air America, and for that, for what Shelley and Anita Drobney did, I'll be forever grateful. But there could have been a very good chance. There was a very good chance that on your invitation, I could have wound up on your network, which would have been an awful lot of fun. And
well, we're glad that you are where you are, Mike, because there aren't nearly enough of you. And one of the things that the Horn hopes to accomplish is we recognize that mercifully people like Flush Flimball are not they're not immortal.
Yeah, the which may be proof that there is a God after all.
Yeah.
I don't,
you know. And there's going to have to be a generation after you, a generation after me, and we're hoping that maybe what part of the Horn does is to bring that next generation along. And we're working at that, because one of the cool things is, you know, if you notice, like, Bill O'Reilly's demographic is, I guess, the median age is like 90.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Well, we've got listeners that go all the way to 10.
That's great.
and so that, you know, there's going to be a vacuum, and by God, we're going to try to fill it. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're the godfather. And
that's very kind, Bob. I appreciate the sentiment, but you know me. You know, I've always just considered, hey, listen, you know, I come in, I do my 3 hours, and I get whatever satisfaction I can out of doing it. And when, you know, when we shut down the program every night, you know, I just go back to taking care of my four-year-old and doing the normal things just like you or anybody else does. And, I'm glad to have a job. I'm glad to be getting a paycheck. You know, I'm glad to have a studio in my house now, so it cuts down my, what's the phrase, carbon footprint.
Yep.
You know, I don't commute anymore. It's right here in the studios in our house in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. So, you know, I'm just glad to be where I'm at. I really am. And I really honor and respect what your network's doing and people like you who are determined to keep it going no matter what. So, I think that was like one of the reasons I wanted to call in. I hope your audience grows, continues to grow. Internet radio, you know, I don't want to say anything to cut my own throat, but internet radio is, I think that is the future of digital, you know, using the web, using all of the technology. I think over-the-air radio it's got a shelf life, and I don't know how much further it has to go. It's been one hell of a medium, but, I mean, let's be real. People are so mobile. People are demanding something more than just what you hear that's why Sirius and XM were so popular, because, you know, you had just this enormous menu to choose from. So I think the future belongs to web radio. I really do. At some place, it's already developed incredibly, but I think web radio is going to be where it's at. So I just hope by that time I will have saved enough money so I can quit work. Just stop this. Oh, my God.
or maybe just have a reason to when everything's okay.
Right. I like to feel that. At least for a few days before I step off this earthly coil. You know, I've said before, I got my political awareness on November 22nd, 1963, and it's just been a bitch ever since.
Well, here, here.
Like, able to, you know, at some point, just kick back and go, whew, hey, everything's cool. Hey, listen, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you, Mike. You've absolutely made the evening, and as you always do, break a leg this evening.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care, okay?
You too. Bye.
Cheers, Mike.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Well, how cool was that?
Yeah, and what a dude. I mean, you know, he talks about how, you know, he almost ended up with us, but, you know, ever since Nova M got its feet on the ground, we never have had that, you know, that nasty competitive kind of thing. We were just happy to see that
there aren't enough, you know. I remember, John, when Flush Flimball did that thing in the New York Times Sunday Magazine.
And he said, they asked him about Bill O'Reilly, and he said, oh, my friend, somebody has to say it. The guy's Ted Knight. The guy's Ted Baxter. You know, I don't know of anybody in liberal talk that says that about one of our brothers and one of our comrades, one of our brothers, one of our sisters. We all want to see the medium grow and blossom. And I know you feel that way. I know Guy feels that way. And I think that gives us a better chance because the other side is cutthroat, and they would sell their own grannies for a quarter point share on the Arbitron pages.
Well, you know, it's like you said a couple times this week. You know, it's the difference in what the point of doing radio is for you as an organization, whether you're, you know, filler content between the advertising media, or whether you're actually trying to create radio content. And, you know, first, it depends, you know, it's about the priority. And, you know, I mean, we definitely, you know, set that priority. You know, we wouldn't take those ridiculous, you know, scammy gold, you know, weight loss garbage, because that's not what we're about. And, like, you know, we had that conversation, you know, probably a couple years ago now. You know, what if, you know, Wally World came to my show with an offer to sponsor it with, you know, their organic section of food? And I said it was really easy. Their track record proves them to not be trustworthy. I wouldn't take the money. And the second that our listeners heard Walmart being advertised on the Head On Radio Network, it would automatically be a sign that we had given up our, you know, our moral compass for a buck. And we lose our listeners.
Yeah, and you know, that's not to say, you know, it's a real beautiful thing. Just in the course of these 3 hours, John, we've gotten a couple of generous contributions, and I genuinely appreciate them, and that's what keeps this going. And I try to individually thank the contributors to the Horn. I don't always do it on the air. Some might like to have that, and if it's okay with you, you can email me and tell me that it's all right. But I'm really, really jealous about guarding the people who are trying to make this happen, because, and I guess I come at it from an angle that is informed by people like Nick and people like Benji, and all the folks down at Cold River Mountain Watch, because because of the nature of the fight, they have to be, and you guys can verify this, they have to be so very careful where they eat, where they go, whom they associate with. And frankly, I'm not trying to encourage anybody's paranoia, but this audience is the same way, and you're that way, John, even though you're in Australia. And I'm that way, and I jealously guard the privacy of my family, and I know Guy does the same thing, and you know, Mark doesn't walk around with a great big sandwich board sign on that says Liberal Talk Host. Because we're still vulnerable. And frankly, I learned that from you guys.
Yeah, man. It's something to live with.
I mean, just as an example, John, I was down Coal River on Tuesday. And we had lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the next day we find out that the woman who served us lunch is a pro mountaintop removal person. And this email got circulated, said, we don't eat there no more. God only knows what we ate yesterday.
Yeah.
You have to be
sad.
Careful.
Yeah.
Because the other side, like Mike said, the other side doesn't play fair. They don't play nice. They're not civilized. They carve backwards letters in their faces, for the love of God.
I'm telling you, that's some disturbed activity that just really freaks me out. And can I just, before we get out of here, can I just...
Yeah, go ahead.
The first thing I saw when I woke up this morning, before I had my first cup of coffee, I, you know, turn on the computer, I'm going to put on the radio, and I see Huffington Post, the most highly paid advisor to the McCain campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first half of October was the Moose's makeup artist. Come on, we have to be.
Well,
able
it is,
to
it is, he's not just moose.
Some
moose,
sort
he's,
of moose.
He's moose and squirrel.
Lipstick on a moose thing.
He's moose and squirrel.
Lipstick on a moose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just.
Hey, and let's go to the phones real quick. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi, It's me, Richard.
Hey, Richard, how are you? Long time no talk to.
Yeah. I just wanted to get in a congratulations on your third year. I think that's terrific. And, you know, John, since you're there, you know, hats off to you, too, for pulling it off.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy who can diagnose audio problems from 8,000 miles away.
That's and that surprises even me.
I mean, the things that we've gone through to make stuff work when it got sideways here. I mean, there was a time when I was down in Alabama with my dad, and Agnes was reduced to using the webcam to send a stream to John so that John could see what the settings were.
Oh my God! Yep. That's how it's done.
Yeah, we repatched the West Virginia studio one time via webcam, which was an interesting experience. But I'll tell you, all you have to do is have someone that can follow directions on the other side. And if I can see, it's just, you know, okay, go there, twist that. Go there, twist that, you know.
Much of the beauty of all this...
It's not as highfalutin as y'all make it out to be.
Oh, yes, it is. If you're on the stupid side, it really, really is. Trust me.
Well, it's a little bit like doing software support or something like that, but kind of worse.
Look, I didn't know what half of this board did until we met John.
Right.
And you know, I don't know what anybody else can say about anything I've done for them, but I have received a college level education from John Fox and Peter Godbold and Ben Birch.
Well, let me change the topic here because we are running out of time, right?
We are.
Okay. Quickly, I think I know how to improve Dick Cheney's health, which is
microwave oven.
Well, no. I think we should give him a heart transplant from who's that fat guy? pick him. The one on the radio.
Rush?
Yeah. Give him a heart transplant from Rush.
Oh, dude, that heart's all wore out from the junk he's pumped into it.
Well, that's why I suggested it.
that reminds me of the ongoing slogan that used to appear on WD40.com. Maybe the guys got a little nervous about maybe the Secret Service getting in touch. But they used to have this running counter. It's been X number of days since Dick Cheney's last heart attack. Please send bacon.
Yeah. You know, about Mike Malloy, Mike, if you're still listening, lower your price, will you? It's too expensive for me to hear you.
Oh, Richard, after he does that nice call, don't do that.
the other thing...
You can listen live every night, man.
No, I know. But I only listen to download this stuff.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, though, Mike once mentioned something fascinating about himself, and I think he's right on about this, which is that I think we're all bigots at heart.
It's in the nature of the human process. We separate ourselves from ourselves.
The great struggle
is, you know, I mean, when we came down out of the trees, we all knew who we were and who the lion wasn't. It's when there got to be enough of us and a shortage of small furry things that we could bean with a rock at a distance that we started having trouble. I mean, it all boils down to food. It all boils down to habitat. And by God, you know, here in West Virginia, something we worry about more than anything else, it boils down to clean water.
Absolutely.
But back to bigotry is... I think that it's just human nature to try to consolidate information to make sense out of it. So let's say you have your lion, and, you know, lion chases you, bares its fangs and stuff. And tomorrow there's a blue lion, you know, and the blue lion does the same thing to you. And then you say, oh, all lions are like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But the beauty of humanity, the beauty of getting past it, Richard, is when the big lion, oh, that's a threat, got to get rid of him. But then some wiseacre says, look, we just killed the mommy. Let's raise the cub. And the next thing you know, you've got house cats.
Yeah.
That's a broad example, but I think it's valid. Hey, Richard, thanks for calling in, man. We got to roll on.
Okay.
All right. Take care, man.
Great.
Take it easy, man.
Thank you. We're looking forward to a bunch more. Guys, that's it.
All right.
Thank you, John, for ringing in.
No worries.
Benji, thanks for hanging.
Thanks for having me.
Nick, thanks.
Absolutely, Bob. Love to be here.
This has been a hoot. Everybody in the chat room, your emails, your congratulatory emails. We will go back to business, the real business of what we do, and that is dialogue, discussion, and debate come Monday. We've got a great weekend schedule coming for you, as usual. The Rick Smith Show from Pennsylvania. Rick's Place. Coming to you from horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, deep in the heart of Texas. Billy Shears with Night Sounds at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, Mango Madness. John Fox at 9 p.m., preceded by on a separate stream, but still damn sure well worth the listen. Rama and Help Me, I'm an American. God, I love that title. Have I got it all, John?
Yeah, and just Zach Smith on my show. And if you want to get a preview, check out the blog out on the Horn. It's some good stuff.
It is indeed. And, John, just let me say this personally. I love you like a brother, and thank you for everything. Thank you for getting up early, staying up late. Thank you for educating me and you know, talking me down from the cliff. thank you for everything.
Oh, mate, this has been an amazing journey so far, and we got a long way to go. And I still think our best days are ahead of us. And this election coverage, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be wild. I got to see Recount last night, Bob.
I saw that a while back, and it's amazing.
It just kind of set me back up, going, okay, remembering where we were.
Not
you know,
this
8 years
time.
Ago. No, and I really do believe it's going to be a not-this-time scenario, and I do think Election Day is going to be a bit of an ugly day, because I think...
Oh, it's going to be brutal. We know it is. There's going to be evil and skullduggery stalking the land, the likes of which we have not imagined.
But I do believe that this time it's going to be covered. You know, we're seeing more of the mainstream media talking about, you know, what's been going on in West Virginia and here and there already in the early voting. And because we're early voting in record numbers, the light is being shined even more, you know, brightly on the situation. So if, you know, the skullduggery is obvious, we have proof, we start looking into it. But I still think we're going to be, you know.
And we're going to be here election night. And anybody that sees that kind of thing. This is the place you call. We'll be here all, you know, try the veal. We're going to be here all night.
Absolutely. And you know, that I really think the groundswell has finally hit. And, you know, a part of me wonders if on the day, those that would think about stealing it just say, you know what, the country's such a mess, we don't really want it this time. Let the Democrats have it.
Hear, hear. Well, John, we will wait for you on Sunday.
Mate, you have a great night. Thanks.
Take care, brother. And Benji, Nick, man, you made this a lot of fun. It was great having some company tonight.
Oh, man, it was great being here.
I kind of wish we could have gotten Agnes to sneak back here, but she's busy being, you know, grandma, mama, and all things in between. And thank you to all of you. Honest to God, thank you to all of you for 3 years. Lord, I hope it's 5 and maybe 10 or who knows, 20 or 25. I hope it. And I want all of you, every last one of you, and more and more and more here to join in the dialogue, the discussion, the renewal of, frankly, America's civic life that we're trying to be, of which we're trying to be some small part. Thank you. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for emails, phone calls, snail mail letters. We get mail, real mail. And thank you to Ben Birch. Ben didn't call in, but by God, none of this happens without Ben Birch. And frankly, liberal talk on the Internet does not even get born without Ben Birch. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Okay? And then, of course, Benji's here.
Nick's here. They're both from Coal River Mountain Watch. And as I say every night, and I can every night I say it, every night I mean it, the bravest, hardest-working people I know. Maybe from what you hear here, you get a sense of what they do, but I don't even begin to scratch the surface. CRMW.net, CoalRiverWind.org. Be a part of the solution. Because you know what? It's the God's honest truth. We're all downwind. And we are all downstream from mountaintop removal. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.